Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 5th day of May, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the Flood. We do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Shumai to my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean. Also, Kumru Ambith. Callers will be welcome later on in the program. We do ask that you keep comments and or questions short as possible so that others can participate. We are in the question and answer mode. For those that are familiar with the free conference call format, our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's all together with no spaces, just pastordan.net. I try to keep it updated on a daily basis, especially the Daily Mail page. A lot of things are happening, folks. It's so much easier if you just drop in there once in a while during the day and check the Daily Mail and some of the other sites and pages on that website. I try to update the health with latest information about vaccines and just other good information how to keep your health up. Very important today, your health. It's under assault, especially the pro-vaccination people. The enemy knows that the time of the battle between good and evil is right around the corner, so they're trying to decimate the health of as many people as they can. We also have archives of past programs there, a lot of research links for those looking for truth, whether it be about what's in the Bible, what's happening around the world, and different things such as that. So recently added Lock and Load as a page. That's a page dedicated to information about weapons, particularly firearms, what are some of the most recommended, and tips from listeners on things to watch out for, to be aware of, what works, what doesn't work, things such as that. Anyway, PastorDan.net. Shout out goes to Jimmy over in Tampa with his Cigar Jimmy audience. Welcome to the program, folks. The word is getting out there, folks. I'm telling you, ever since the prayer that I made, I'm going to say it was somewhere around 7 months ago, 8 months ago, asking Father to give direction as to where to look for our ARC communities, a place for believers to come out of Babylon. Ever since that time, the indicators pointing to Central Florida have been astounding. Just in the past 7 days, three more individuals came into my circle of knowledge, very important as to their spiritual side and the information that they have, and all of them are in Central Florida right now. Didn't know that. In some cases, I've known of these people for over a year. Did not know that they were right here in Central Florida. That has been brought to light. Again, it doesn't mean necessarily your group, wherever you're at, is going to be Central Florida, because obviously there'll be more than one ARC community when all is said and done. But it is interesting, at least for me personally, that ever since I asked for that direction, every patriot group, everybody exposing truth, also exposing the liars of the mainstream media, the government, and the major corporations. It's just funny how many of them are already here in what I call a sanctuary state, sanctuary for Yahweh's people. And it's not too strange, anyway, to me, that when you look on a map, Florida sort of stands alone. It's a huge peninsula. So obviously we're surrounded by ocean water on three sides, and it is shaped in a way like a large ark, a ship. So again, it's a lot of coincidences, even though I don't really believe in coincidences. it's just amazing because for me, when you think like a man, a person, you would not pick Florida for many, many reasons. You would think it's too isolated. There's too many non-whites here. We could be easily invaded by sea, things like that. And yet you come to find out that Florida is just jam-packed with natural resources. It's already has a huge agricultural business here, cattle. There's a lot of deer, sheep, goats, horses, lots and lots of horses. You can grow almost anything here. But, you know, we could go on and on about that. I just find it amazing. But anyway, your input on that aspect of things is certainly always welcome. Jimmy just put up here, Florida is also shaped like a pistol with St. Petersburg being the trigger. Interesting. Very interesting. Boone writes in here, Florida has alligators. Well, that's true. It also has a python population. But those critters serve a purpose. Typically, if they're not hungry and if you aren't anywhere near their eggs, they leave you alone for the most part. Man is considered a major predator in the animal world. They only mess with man typically if you, again, if they're starving or you go near their young, they will attack you, obviously. But the other good news is that in Florida, we have a very large, the enemy likes to call us rednecks, basically white people that get a sunburn when they're out in the sun. But we have a very large redneck population here. And all you'd have to do is put a bounty on pythons or alligators and the population would go down to minimal. Okay? That's all you got to do. Turn the rednecks loose on any problem, including invaders. Okay? Easy solutions to every problem we have. And then people say, oh, Dan, that's ridiculous. Really? It's ridiculous? Then live with your problems. Like I've told people for many years, don't bitch to me if you don't want to hear about solutions. Okay? We have solutions. They're common sense. You just have to put them into practice. I told the story about when I worked up in Ohio, and every year during Halloween, Detroit became basically a hellhole for the entire week. And yes, it was typically the blacks burning buildings, destroying things, accosting people. Every year, Hell Week was a disaster. And they were sitting around at the coffee table bitching and moaning about it. And I walked up and I just said, do you want to solve the problem? And they said, well, how are you going to solve the problem? I said, well, I just want to know. Do you want to know how to solve the problem? Well, okay, Dan, what will we do? I says, you guys would get the hell out of the way and allow me and the men that I know to go into Detroit and we'll take the first 50 individuals that we find murdering, raping, kidnapping, and committing arson, and we will hang them from the lampposts down the main street of Detroit. And the next day, we'll find the next 50 and do exactly the same thing. By the end of the week, Detroit will be the safest city in America. 1 week, guaranteed, safest city in America. Of course, there'll be over 200 bodies that will no longer live, but they're criminals. Oh, well, you can't do that. Really? Why not? Well, because that's cruel and unusual. But it's not cruel and unusual what the blacks do in Detroit every year for a week. That's not cruel and unusual. Tell that to the people that have murdered family members, and that includes many black families. Tell the Detroit folks that have their daughters raped, and sometimes their sons, that it's cruel and unusual. All right? So again, Israelites are famous for bitching and moaning about problems, but then they don't want to do anything. Even when they're presented with common sense solutions, they want to sit on their ass because typically they don't want to be involved because they might get called a name or they might have to exert. They might actually break a sweat. They might have to give up some of their FaceTime with their flat screens and their endless entertainment, and so they just want to sit around and bitch. In that regard, many of the white men today remind me of a bunch of cackling women just sitting around with their jaws jacking. Well, when do you want to get off your ass and fix the problem? Now, you know, I've had people sometimes say, Dan, you don't talk like any preacher I ever met. Yeah, I'll guarantee you I'm not like any preacher you ever met. First of all, the word preacher and pastor come from an Aramaic word that means either pastor, which is basically a shepherd, a leader, or a commander. All three of our English words are trapped in one Aramaic word. Just means somebody that's out front. Somebody willing to go out front. That's all. So you put any of your mental constructs around these titles you want. So you have this mental image of what a quote preacher is. Well, go down to the local church. You have plenty of people pretending to be men and women of God, and they're lying their asses off to you. But they'll be sure to put on a good face in front of the congregation, and they'll be sure that they don't say a dirty word or curse or whatever. But behind closed doors, they're the complete opposite. And are they telling you the truth? No, they're not. But they can do the show. They can put the show on for you because you people don't know enough to ask the right questions. You will sit down there in that pew and listen to that liar day in and day out, week after week, putting your shekels in the money plate, supporting a whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones, spiritually speaking. Actually, it's a physical as well. Dead men because they're going to die from violence. They're going to die from the vaccination poisons that are being put in their bodies. They're going to die from the chemicals and metals that are in the aerosol sprays in the sky. They're going to die from Jew wars that they're willing to send their sons and daughters off to fight for Israel, that bastard nation in the Middle East that is full of liars and thieves. Just like Christ said, they're here to steal, to kill, and destroy. And sure enough, they are. Okay, I'm going to stop my rant for a minute. We have a caller. John from Miami, welcome to the program, sir.
Good morning, John. Commander Dan. John here, yes. How are you doing? God, Yahweh bless you.
Yahweh bless, buddy. Did you have something to report?
Well, I wanted to make a comment. I've gotten one of your emails and another one pertaining to Governor DeSantis, that he's going to go to Israel and sign some kind of a law for the state of Florida about anti-Semitism and or anti-Jewishness in the high schools of Florida. Now, why is he going over there to do that?
Because he's paying homage to his masters.
Well, guess what? I'm beginning to wonder about our governor here in Florida. What a mistake I made to vote for that son of a bitch.
It wouldn't matter who we put in there, John. Okay, DeSantis or anybody else. It doesn't matter. They're all paying homage to their little bagel eaters over in Itzalai. Because now you have, why not go over there? Because Washington, D.C. has become Tel Aviv West. So what's the difference whether the sycophant is over in Tel Aviv East or in Tel Aviv West? What's the difference? I mean, they got to pay homage to their master.
Commander Dan, this shit needs to stop. Now, we got our governor, who was born here in Miami, Florida, Marco Stinkin' Ass, who, if he could be a Cuban Jew, I don't know, but that's why I hate these fucking Cubans, because of people like him. Now, not every Cuban is a piece of shit out there, but for me, and I've discussed this with you, is what I think about them. Who the fuck does Marco Rubio think he is to go down to Colombia and try to foment some kind of a coup d'etat against the Venezuelans or the elected government of Nicolas Maduro? And what the hell was he doing down there? What the hell is he tweeting? Who the hell is paying him? I think the Venezuelans are, from what I've been hearing now. This is why I don't like this guy, Senator Marco Rubio, from our state. I hate his fucking guts. Excuse my language. But I'm sick and tired of him and his fellow Cubans, and also the Jews that have ruined our country and all the white countries as well. This is getting ridiculous. Not only that, what was it? I mean, when, what's his face? Donald Trump got into public office and president. He said something about take the guns away and then justice will be served later. I don't know what it was. Now we got all these red flag laws after what he had said. This is getting really, really bad here. We're going to have a secession or something to start over again. Nothing's happening. We got the wrong people in government at local, state, and certainly the federal government level.
Right. I understand your anger, and John, if only you could listen in to conversations I have on a daily basis with so many of our brothers and sisters that are exactly in the same spot. So, I can't tell you enough that the frustration level, I've never, never, ever saw it this high. And so that tells us that we're near a breaking point. So, you know, just all I can tell is the true believer is to just try to stay as calm as you can. Things are happening, especially things behind the scenes. We have to understand that as believers, Yahweh is our king, Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, and as all three of those, he will be our savior. And he is
not going to forsake
us. Go ahead.
Commander Dan, don't you think that a lot of our fellow Israelites or white identity Christian Israelites, whoever they are, shouldn't some of them start running for some kind of a public office? I mean, even here at the state level, anything.
Well, here, our Father told us that we are to resist evil with our whole mind, body, soul. Everything about us should resist evil. And we should never have gotten out of politics. In the vacuum of the white believing male leaving politics, in that vacuum has come every sort of despicable piece of garbage that you can imagine. That's why we live in a kakistocracy, governance by the worst elements of society. Okay, because we vacated that. We acquiesced and gave them the right to come in and govern over us. And you're right. Whatever we can do, we should do in the meantime. But remember, Yahweh puts these kind of punishments on his people to get them to repent, which means to change the way you think. Okay, our people need to wake up and get involved. You're right. Whatever level that involvement is between you and the Father. But should you be involved? Absolutely. At all times we should be involved. Now some people say, well, shouldn't we have an uprising and whatever? At some point that's going to happen, okay? That's just logic. But we cannot instigate it, okay? Read the book. The Israelites, when they went to war with an enemy, and certainly this is an enemy insurgency in our country, you first offer them the choice or the chance to surrender. Okay? If we can win without shedding blood, that is the best we can do. Just like Sun Tzu even said that. The best warrior wins his fight without releasing one arrow. Okay? That's the first one. The second, part B, is, okay, they're not going to give up. Now it becomes a war to the bitter end until one side or the other is annihilated. Okay, if you won't surrender and get out of the way, if you won't get out of our country and let it return to the white man that founded it, then you have become our mortal enemy, and it's a war to the bitter end. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. But shoot, we just can't be sitting here like this.
Well, we can be involved. You're involved, John. I know you are, okay? You're a part of this ministry. You really are. This ministry is not just me. It's all the helpers and all the people that support it and all the people who constantly feed me information and lift us all up in prayer. You are doing something, John.
Commander Dan, you and me are basically the only ones down here in Miami-Dade County. But crap, we're outnumbered by these Cubans and, well, depending on what a Cuban is, but we're basically outnumbered by Cubans, Cuban Americans. This is ridiculous. How the heck can we fight against that? Most of our fellow whites, even long before you came down here to South Florida, most of our fellow whites left as a white flight. They didn't stay and fight, especially with the language down here. And I'm sick and tired of hearing the Spanish here, Spanish there. Our police and police departments from here to Palm Beach and basically in Miami-Dade County and even some in Broward, the whole thing is full of Cubans. The Cubans hire other Cubans, and they don't know one damn thing about the Constitution. They just as soon arrest anyone without even knowing anything about the Constitution. And these Cuban spics, I call them spics because I hate them, they will shoot you first and answer questions later.
Well, John, you're Cuban.
Don't like them.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. Just remember, the word tells us that one with Yahweh is a majority, and if Yahweh be with us, who can be a win? We're going to win, John. You just need to understand that. All right, buddy? It's getting
Commander Dan, how long is that going to take? I pray myself. I do pray to Yahweh every day, every morning before I go to work, and every night before I go to bed. But I'm not seeing any changes down here. I don't see any changes in the country. Even with Trump in there, look at the crap. He's turned out to be one big fat liar.
Well, I'm not going to disagree that we've been sold a bill of goods with the whole Q Trump thing. But again, we were told that this time period was coming. Christ told us in the books, 2 Timothy chapter 3 describes the state of mankind. You're living in it, all right? The Bible isn't lying to you, but at the same time it said, when you see all these things happening, look up, your redemption's near. And it is near, John. This is not going to last forever, okay?
Well, I agree with you there. It's not going to last, but look at since the founding of this country, we've gone down the hill so bad. My understanding is that we've gone down the hill even not long after the American Revolution, and then it got worse after the war between the states in 1861. Look at where we are now, and we're being invaded by these crazy non-whites. They're not letting in hardly any whites from Europe, Northern Europe, or whatever. We're basically right now we're screwed. We really are.
Well, there has to be a reason, and there has to be a backlash, and it's coming, John. It's coming. That's all I can tell you. It's coming. We're going to win, but we have to do it by the book, and we have to allow our commander to tell us what to do and when to do it. If we rise up as individuals, we'll get crushed because Father's not going to honor that. Let me ask a question, John. In the garden,
sir.
In the garden, the disciples were with the Christ, and the enemy came to arrest Christ. What did Peter do? Do you remember?
He took out his sword, or he wanted to take out his sword, and basically, I've forgotten what it was. He wanted to shoot, but he wanted to run. He wanted to run one of the soldiers through.
He went to take the head off of the guy that pointed out the Christ, the guy in the front that was going to arrest Christ. He took his sword out and swung it to decapitate him. Okay, the guy dropped and he nicked his ear. Okay.
I'm sorry I had it wrong, but in a way I was going the right way. He wanted to do something with the sword.
That's right. He was going to defend him, all right? And he was going to kill the Pharisee, the Jew, that was coming to arrest the Christ. What did Christ tell Peter? Put that sword away. You're interfering with my plan. Now, he didn't dispossess him. He didn't say you're no longer blessed or whatever. He just said, Peter, you're interfering with my plan. Put the sword back in the scabbard. And then he healed the man's ear. And he allowed himself to be taken. That was the first time he came. Second time, he's coming as a commander on a white stallion. And his vestment is dipped in blood. This is the second coming. This is the war against the wicked. All right? So you have to understand, we're part of that, and nothing's going to happen to you or the ones that you pray over as you watch the floodwaters come in, just as it was in the days of Noah. Okay, you're part of his elect. You are covered. And yes, it's frustrating. All of us that know right from wrong, it's frustrating. But he told us that. When you turn against me, you turn against my law, then you're going to witness these things. These terrible, horrible things are going to happen. And that's just the way it is. So we have to understand this is punishment on our brothers and sisters, not you and me. It hurts us because we know it could be different. We know if we rose up today as a group, we could end this nonsense and bring peace back on earth. We know that, and it's frustrating.
Punishment for our fellow, a punishment for our fellow white men and white Anglo-white Northern European stock men and women. Shoot, we're outnumbered down here. I mean, what can you do? We really can't do anything about it down here. They basically have, they're cowards. They never stayed here to fight.
Well, that's true up until now. That's been true. But numbers don't matter, John. Numbers don't matter. And our people, when they do rise up and decide to take matters into their own hands, have proven that there is no greater soldier walking this earth than a pissed off white guy. All right? There is none.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I've spoken to you even offline. I am one pissed off white Anglo-Saxon white European American stock. This is really ridiculous. That's why I have so much hatred against the immigration and certainly what the Cubans have done down here politically and morally. Miami, Florida is a cesspool, and I hope all your listeners are listening to this to boycott South Florida. This is one damn disgusting cesspool down here.
I understand.
And you can thank the filthy, rotten Jews for bringing this immigration all over America.
Yep,
I hate
true.
These Jews as well, what the crap that they've done. And I don't like to see this interracial mixing either. That bothers the hell out of me.
Yeah, I understand, John. We got another caller, John, so I'm going to take it. Okay, bud?
All right.
Thanks for calling in, and Yahweh bless. Okay, area code 321. Welcome to the program.
Hi there, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much. I'm really enjoying this. So this is Susan, and I just wanted to encourage John a little bit because there are many things going on behind the scenes that people can't necessarily talk very openly about, but it's coming from all sorts of directions. Now, when we look at one of our enemy encroachments from this direction or that or this or that, because they're surrounding us effectively 360 degrees spherically, what I see as one of the largest threats, which is near total eco-genocide, perhaps through, I mean, any one of various means, for example, geoengineering, 5G, which is also 4G. 4G, 5G distributed antenna system is really, really bad, and toward that end, vaccines and others. I just wanted to give the good news that we've got a geoengineering bill that has been introduced in one state and is about to be introduced in others. The first hearing occurred on Thursday in that beginning state. Not one person showed up in opposition to the bill. In other words, we are on a very successful platform right now with that. It's moving ahead. People are loving it, and I wrote that bill for all 50 states. I'm also in the process of writing a notice of liability for all 50 states, and the bill itself is being already translated into multiple languages, European languages, so that we can get rid of this particular threat, which is eco-genocide, total eco-genocide, which is a bigger threat, I would argue, than individual other ethnicities aiming at us or aiming at individuals, taking out one by one. So I just wanted to give John that encouraging news.
Yeah, that is phenomenal news, Susan. And in these desperate times, any good news is certainly welcome and cherished. And again, now John brought up a good point. You know, is anybody doing anything? Well, he was not aware of what you and the people that are associated with you are doing, and the fact that you had a great success recently. So, you know, just because we don't see it doesn't mean that Father isn't doing things, folks. Please understand that. Okay, we see through a dark glass in this day and age, which means that's a biblical way of just saying you're not getting an in-focus, high-resolution picture of anything going on, okay? And the enemy is feeding us tons of information, and much of it is misinformation or outright lies. And it's done to keep us afraid and frustrated and angry and agitated. And, you know, and they know that that's going to create more violence. They know that's going to create more illness and decimate our ranks. We got to stop doing that. We're part of the winning team here, okay? Remember that. You're on the winning team. Yeah, we got plenty of time left in the game. Everybody thinks, well, the clock's going to run. No, it's not. I'm here to tell you. You got time left. The coach knows our team better than you do. Our coach knows what plays to play, and he knows how much time's left on the clock. We're going to win this game. So just hang in there. Susan, I wanted to ask you, do you take help from outside sources? In other words, if people listening want to do something to help out, do you take, you know, help in any way, shape, or form?
We don't believe in 501c3 corporations, as probably you don't either. Look at all the 501c3 churches and how totally corrupt and controlled they are. So, as far back as nearly 30 years ago, I looked into forming a 501c3 and just saw the corruption, for example, in it didn't matter what realm, whether it was people helping others who were chemically injured and not getting any help, or people who were trying to stop the wireless irradiation of everybody. It didn't matter what realm it was in. All of those people who had 501c3s were not doing their mission. They only existed to take in money. And so I eschewed that whole realm of 501c3 corporation because nobody was doing the mission that they said they were doing. So instead, I decided I'm going to form a network of people, and their membership is defined by their action.
Hallelujah.
They're doing the good things, the right things, then that's membership. And if anybody wanted to contribute money behind the scenes, they do it directly and almost under the radar, right? Because we don't want those monies being reported to what? The IRS, the federal government. Why should people's contributions be on the radar that just doesn't make any sense. No, if people sincerely want to help out, they can help out in practical ways, and I never asked for any money, even though I was chronically, and still am, chronically totally poor. We had no idea yesterday how we were even going to buy eggs for breakfast. Had no way, and then suddenly, miraculously, something came in, and we got groceries. That's how we live, because it's the way of integrity to live. When I was a teenager, I was reading David Wilkerson's books. He had a mission in Harlem to drug users and pushers and you name it. It was a horrible situation. And when I was 16, I wrote to him saying, you know, I would really love to be part of your mission. Can I come for a summer to New York? And I got a very nice letter back saying, you know, you're 16, you're a little bit young for this, it's really a tough scene, but when you're older, when you're 21, consider writing back. In any case, and I never did actually get back into that because I think the mission was ended at some point. That guy lived by faith. If he had no shoes, he walked in with bare feet. They would run out of money chronically, and then all of a sudden, mysteriously, miraculously, somebody would send some financial gift. That's how I ended up living. So if people would like to contribute in that way, that's great. If they want to contribute in a practical other way, that's great too.
Well,
sorry for my long-winded answer.
No, that's wonderful because Jimmy just sent a note in here that he wants to contact you, and he and his entourage or his the word is escaping me here, but the folks around him, the like-minded people with him over there, they want to help. And so I'm going to send him your contact information. And so, in fact, I'm doing it as we speak. Give me just a second. My words. Okay, I'm making it short and sweet, but I wanted to get it off to him immediately because you're right. You know, I'm the same way. I live paycheck to paycheck, month to month, and somehow Yahweh always provides. That's the amazing thing. You know, it was a year I talked about having a 3-monitor set up here, how much it worked for me in the power plants when I wrote procedures and how much easier it made my work. And because of people like John in Miami and Matt up in Minnesota, I now have a 3-monitor setup at the command center here. And it's because of their efforts. I couldn't afford to do that. They provided everything and you know, bless their hearts. So I think the Father's been doing that to a lot of us. I used to have a lot more money when I was working, and all I did was give it to people. I spent it on family. I bought things I didn't necessarily need. And what I've noticed is Father takes away that garbage. He makes us become stronger, smarter, more efficient. We start throwing things away and getting things out of our life that aren't helping us, things like that. And it's causing a desire for us to come back together as family. I talked to another guy named Mark last night again. And that was one of the things that we discussed, was the need for us to come together as family and to work like family. And I think this horrible situation is finally giving us enough incentive to turn away from Babylon, because it's empty, it's hollow, it will not satisfy. And we're looking for the meaningful relationships between ourselves. So I say hallelujah for that. I don't like the ugliness, I'll be the first to tell you. But if that's what it takes to get our people to stop thinking like Babylonians and start thinking like Aryans, proud Aryans of who we are, where we have come from, who our ancestors were, and where we can go from here, you know, as bad as it looks, then I say hallelujah, because we're going to be winners. But anyway, at least one listener has already said they want to help. Susan, I'm sure there's going to be others. Do you want to give out any contact information, or just have people contact me and I'll forward it to you?
I think that would be fine. Yeah, feel free to just send people my way through you. Thank you.
Okay, that's how we'll do it. So listeners, you can go to the website, PastorDan.net. There's a contact page there. Or you can write to BYD, which stands for By Yahweh's Design, BYD Pastor Dan, that's all together, no spaces, at yahoo.com, and I will forward your offer to Susan and her entourage over there. So that is wonderful news. I wanted to ask Susan, is there any efforts being made in your circles of the people that you know to fight this damnable forced vaccination push that's going on right now?
Yes, many of us are involved with that. If you look at the triumvirate of sites, for example, zerovax.com, zero5g.com, and zerogeoengineering.com, you'll see a lot. These are people who are just taking action, making things happen, and doing it in such a way that it's effective, not just spinning wheels. We're done with spinning. I mean, there are a lot of people who want to just spin wheels, who want to whine. We're not about that. This is, you get it done, and you get it done with intelligence, with accuracy, with facts, with laws, and you don't mess up. When you finally have a chance to do something, when you go into battle, you've got to know what you're doing, and you don't just presume that you can walk into a hearing and blab. No, you get all of the top best information, you go through edit after edit after edit, and finally you have the strongest possible speech that you can give with along with substantiating evidence that you can put forth, for example. So you don't waste people's time. You don't ruin other people's efforts by going in unprepared. When you go to battle, you go prepared.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And speaking of that, I'm going to throw another recommendation for the book Omega Dynamics by Jamie Walton, a soldier and first responder. He wrote a book dedicated to the Christian warrior for the war of the end of the ages. Again, I've only got a couple chapters left to read in it. Highly recommend it. There's a lot of encouragement in there. He puts not only his knowledge of the Bible and faith in Yahshua in there, but he combines it with his training as a first responder and as a soldier for the United States Marine Corps. I believe it was a Marine Corps. And so very good manual for both men and women. Obviously, it's dedicated mostly to the male warriors because that's our job. But there's words of encouragement and tactics of a soldier that would apply for all of us. But Omega Dynamics, Jamie Walden, highly recommended. Highly recommended as a warfare manual for us Israelites of the end of the age, because this is a war we're in. Wouldn't you agree, Susan?
Absolutely. This is the war of the ages. This is threat of total eco-genocide while only a few get to live, they think, in their bunkers or in the state of Israel. It's down to that.
Yeah. Amen. The battle of the ages, the battle that the Dead Sea Scrolls spoke of, the war between the children of light, which means knowledge, truth, wisdom, and the children of darkness, which is superstition, Satanism, occultism, etc. Excuse me. And so we're in it. So this is an exciting time to be alive, isn't it?
Sure is.
It's not fun to watch, but we're going to have a great big victory celebration when it's all over, as our King of Kings rides around on his white charger and subdues his enemies with a scepter of iron. And that's what's coming. And we, as his children, can do the exact same thing. And it's funny that what you just did, you and your group in that legal battle, reinforces the verse that says, when the wicked stand firm, the righteous flee. Or when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee, correct?
Absolutely.
So we righteous just haven't been standing firm, have we?
You got it.
All right. Well, did you have anything more, Susan? I don't want to tie you up. I know you're a very busy person, but and
believe
certainly
me,
welcome.
Believe me, I'm constantly multitasking. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
Now.
Yep,
I'm writing.
Well, I know you and your husband have been, let's put it this way, under the assault of the wicked one and his children. But you guys have persevered and overcome, and I ask Yahweh to bless your hearts. You guys are warriors, prayer warriors, and actual doers instead of hearers only of the word. Certainly examples for our people. If we just could multiply you guys by tens of thousands, this war would be over.
Absolutely, it would be.
So anybody that contacts me, I'll certainly pass them on to you as quickly as possible. And thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. Thank you.
All right. Take good care. All right, folks. The frustration levels out there, as you heard with John, and certainly John is not alone with that sentiment. But the good news is that there are people doing things even whether you know it or not, okay? And as we discover people that are willing to get out there and take the fight to the enemy, as Susan and her husband are doing, and the co-workers there, Yahweh's giving them a victory. Are you listening? A great victory in the fight against the 5G terror. Why is it okay that Trump is not going to have 5G put on his properties, okay? And we're talking about the Trojan horse that calls himself POTUS, President of the United States, okay? Trojan horse, okay? He wears a yarmulke. His daughter's married to a Mossad agent. And you think he's the white knight for us? Let me know how that works out for you, will you? So it's okay for Trump to not put the Israeli-invented 5G control mechanism on his properties, and his buddy Netanyahu and the rest of those Satan worshipers in Israel, they're not going to have 5G in their country, and yet you dumbasses think that it's okay to put it over here. You haven't figured it out yet? Let's see. It's a really good thing, but the lying pieces of shit called Israelis don't have it. Your piece of dog meat in the White House isn't going to put it on his properties, but it's good for you. Did your brain just completely shut down? You don't see the hypocrisy with that? You don't see the irony with that? What does Scripture tell you in Luke chapter 12? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Their hypocrisy. Okay, the White House is completely dominated by the Zionist, Talmud-thumping, communist Bolshevik Jews. Completely dominated by them. And yet you think that organization is going to drain the swamp, and a bunch of white hats in the Pentagon are going to drain the swamp when the Jews have had complete control over both of those organizations. Wake the hell up, will you people? I spoke to an officer who was a son-in-law to my neighbor in Michigan many years ago. This was like 18 years ago. And I met him coming out of my door of my apartment, and they were coming out of the door of their apartment, and this officer was standing there in civilian clothes. But my neighbor introduced me to the daughter and her husband and said, oh, by the way, he's an officer at the Pentagon. And I said, oh, really? And I just looked at him and I said, scary place, isn't it? And his eyes got as big as silver dollars. And he looked at me and he shook his head and he said, yeah, it is. I said, let me ask you a question. How do you cope with it? Because I knew that my neighbor was a Bible-believing Christian family. And he had told me that his daughter and her husband were Bible believers also. So I knew this guy was a believer. And I just looked, I said, how do you cope? And he said, Dan, he goes, we do the best we can. So that was 18 years ago, folks, 18 years ago, right after 9/11, right around that time period. So you think that this kabuki theater that's being played out in front of us with the 8chan and Q and all the YouTubers and all this stuff telling you this great effort's being done to drain the swamp, while the swamp creatures are building the corral around you, sheep. Okay, the wolves in sheep's clothing are building the corral that they're going to put you in as they prepare you for the slaughter. Are you listening to me? While you're sitting there on your asses, not doing a damn thing because, oh, we have white knights that are going to save the day. Really? Well, let me put it this way. I'm not waiting for any so-called white knights in mortal flesh. My knight is the King of Kings, okay? And I'm not waiting for any body of men who claims to be my savior because they're false messiahs. That's one of the indicators that it's a false messiah. When has anything on 8chan, Q, the White Knights, Trump, etc., ever given acknowledgement of Yahweh? Well, they'll say God, but which God? A little G-God named Satan? A little G-God called Israel? A little G-God called the Deep State? Is that the God they're talking about? My God has a name, so I know exactly when you're talking about my Heavenly Father. He has a name. It's called Yahweh. And you can pronounce it Yahuwah. It's like Daniel, Daniel. Okay, I understand. You can pronounce it different ways. I personally prefer Yahweh. Makes perfect sense. The point being, stop looking for false prophets and false messiahs. What did the book say? They would appear everywhere at the end of the age, didn't they? Yeah. So what are all these agencies claiming with all this stuff going on that they're going to be our messiah? But I don't hear one of them acknowledge our Heavenly Father. I really don't. They talk about a God, and God comes from the German word Gott, and it comes from the ancient word Elohim in the ancient Hebrew. Elohim could be applied to a mortal man because it just means like a person in authority. A magistrate would be called an Elohim, or a prophet would be called an Elohim. Okay? A prince or a king would be called an Elohim in ancient times. So it could be supernatural or not, just like the Greek word angelos, where we get our word angel from, angelos. It just means messenger. That's all it means, messenger. Doesn't tell you if it's coming from on high or where it walks in shoe leather in its flesh. It's a messenger. You're supposed to detect the spirit of the messenger if the message is coming from the Holy Spirit or from some other source. You have this mental construct, thanks to Hollywood and the whitewashed sepulchers called churches. You have these concepts of these men and women in white robes and golden wings, and they're playing hard. That's not what it's all about, folks. They want you to believe in fairy tales. They want people to look at the scriptures and go, you believe in that comic book? That's a comic book. I've had Aryans and like Aryan Nation guys and skinheads and people I've met like that, and some KKK folks, though most of the KKK are actually very strong believers, the ones I've met, the actual ones, not your TV variety on Jerry Springer, the Jew, the kike. Okay, do you think you're going to actually see real KKK on Jerry Springer's show? Are you kidding me? You have to get off your ass and actually go to a rally to meet real Klansmen like I did. All right, and then I was shocked. It was like going to a church service. White families dressed properly, speaking properly, conducting themselves properly. Every speaker giving a sermon. Not once did I hear the N-word. Not once did I hear we need to destroy all of the non-white. Not once. The entire day. Sermon after sermon after sermon. And three skinheads showed up and they were drunk, and all the men got together and escorted them off the property with baseball bats and rifles. You're not welcome here. Okay, so Jerry Springer's version wants you to think one thing, but if you would get off your ass and actually go out and meet somebody or actually get involved, you might find reality somewhat different. It's no different than in my early 30s when I decided, you know, I'm done with somebody else telling me what Adolf Hitler was all about and what's in Mein Kampf. And I bought my first edition of Mein Kampf, the unedited edition. I read that book in utter amazement. I could not believe that Adolf Hitler wrote this book, because the Adolf Hitler I knew was the one crammed down my throat in school and through the Jew propaganda machine called movies and television. Television, Talmud vision, same thing. Okay? But I took the initiative to buy the book to educate myself. And then I gave copies to many of my friends and family and challenged them to read it. And many of them did. And they came away with exactly the same opinion that I did, that this was a phenomenal book. It could have been written today about what's going on in the white nations today. Not one word in there about wanting to destroy every Jew in the world. Not one word in there about wanting to control the whole world. All of that's Jewish bullshit. All right? Many things in there about Jews, because the Jews were the ones who committed treason against Germany in World War I and caused Germany to lose the war. Germany should have won that war, and Hitler knew that. Hitler was a soldier in the trenches of France, and he knew they had enough weapons and ammunition and tanks and everything else to defeat the Allies. They had mounted all of this stuff for a counteroffensive, and then all of a sudden their supplies disappeared. And then the Allies attacked and defeated them. And that's when Hitler and his men went back to Berlin and the homeland and said, how did we lose this war? We were winning. We had better weaponry. We had better morale. We had better soldiers. And we lost. What happened to all those supplies? Who told the Allies to attack when they did, knowing that our supplies had all of a sudden disappeared? That's when he found out that the termites, called Talmudists or Jews, back in Berlin, had worked out a deal to make sure Germany lost the war. Treason. Why is it the United States, with all of its modern weaponry, can't win a war anymore? We haven't won a war in ages. We do a lot of fighting, but we don't win. We just keep killing people, keep dropping bombs, keep running up the bill. Oh, wait a minute. Cui bono? Who benefits when we're in constant war? Let's see. I think it starts with a J. I think it's three letters. Oh, Jew. Yeah. Who do you think owns the major stock in all these manufacturing companies? Who owns the major stock in the pharmaceuticals and the companies like Merck that's making these poisons called vaccines? Who do you think's putting shekels in their pocket, laughing their ass off all the way down to the synagogue at how stupid white people are? Yeah, same creatures. Same ones that Christ condemned, by the way, and they murdered him for it. Did you ever think about that? While your preacher's up there telling you that the Jews are God's chosen people. Oh, my God. God's chosen people. There isn't one shred of integrity in a Jew's body. Not one shred. And what I love is when people say, but Dan, I've got a friend that's Jewish, and they're just wonderful. Okay, so we've got an entire race of people planning the destruction of our race, but you know one individual who says they're a Jew, and they don't appear to be so terrible. But you know something? Somebody recently told me a story about a mother-in-law that was Jewish. She married his dad. And she came across as this loving, caring person his whole childhood until the day he figured out who pulled off 9/11. And so he purposely didn't want to mention anything about it, but she kept pushing. Okay, you figured out who did it. So he said, the Israelis pulled it off. All of a sudden, this lady became the typical Jew. So after an entire long length of years, she portrayed herself to be this very magnanimous, just like us, sheep. She was just another one of the sheep until he pointed out that it was the Jews behind 9/11, and she unloaded on him. Typical Jew. All right, so all of you morons out there, because you have a Jew who's putting on his face, his facade, okay, and you're buying it, that somehow forgives these bastards for what they do, while Netanyahu and rabbis are talking about all races are here to serve them as their slaves, the Jews are the only dominant race on earth, the Jews need to be the supreme masters of the earth, the Jews dominate every Western nation's Congress and parliament, government. They dominate the military through the use of corporations and money, and they stick in their sycophants like Colin Powell and Wesley Clark, Dwight D. Eisenhower, and a whole host of other crypto-Jews. And you're sitting there going, well, we're going to name our highway after Eisenhower because he was a general and a good guy. And yet in his yearbook from the Academy, he was called the terrible Swedish Jew. And this same Jew that you think you should name highways after orchestrated the murder of over 12 million innocent German men, women, and children after the war was over. That's how stupid we are. We're going to honor the Kike Ike when he murdered 12 million of our cousins. And by the way, let me remind you of something. Before the internet came along, we used to actually have to get off our ass and go to meetings. And I went to a lot of meetings, and I was a speaker at a lot of meetings. And one of the favorite things I would do is ask the audience, how many out here of you have German blood in your veins? I'm just curious. Give me a show of hands. Every meeting I did that, it was over 90%, probably close to 95, 96%. I didn't take an actual count, but there were a lot of hands in the air. So the Jew thinks he's eradicating Germany by decimating a country called Germany and then Austria as well, the Germanic people. But our people are excellent at procreating. That's in our nature. My grandfather on my mom's side, Pennsylvania Dutch, had 10 children. He was typical of that day, 10 children. And those children had anywhere from 5 to 6 children. Okay, that's what we do. Look at what we did in Egypt, okay? The Egyptians, we procreated and became such huge numbers so fast that the Egyptians were afraid that we would take over Egypt. So you kikes think you destroyed our people by subjugating our homeland called Germany, Deutschland. It's where the word Dutch comes from, Deutsch, Deutschland. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We're everywhere. And we know who you are. The blood of John the Baptist, the blood of the Apostle John, the blood of our ancestors all the way back to King David and beyond, all the way to Adam, runs through our veins. We know who the hell you are. The Holy Spirit is revealing all of this. We know who you are. We know the end of the book and we know what's coming. Obadiah verse 18, that's what's coming. Ezekiel 25 verse 14, that's what's coming. And you know it. That's why your anger is so high. That's why you're letting your guard down. Your hubris and your anger are identifying you as the antichrists. And now you're pushing for these anti-BDS, which is boycott, divest, and sanction Israel. Anti-BDS laws, anti-Semitism laws, because the world is waking up to you and your nefarious deeds. The blood of innocent people are on your hands. You know, you bragged about murdering the Christ, the anointed one, when he first came. You bragged about that. You still brag about it. Sarah Silverman does it in her comedy routine. Brags about the fact that the Jews murdered the Messiah. In fact, she even says, I hope he does come back so we can do it all over again. Your hubris is identifying you. Your vanity will be your undoing, is what the prophets told us, and it's happening before your very eyes. You're being exposed across the entire world. Wait till the people wake up to who has murdered their children, who has consumed the bodies of their missing innocent boys and girls, who are responsible for the soldiers spilling the blood in foreign lands fighting these Jew wars, who's responsible for the poisons in the pharmaceutical products and vaccines, responsible for things like 5G and the cancers caused by radio frequency energies in the air. Cancers caused by pollutants in the ground and in the water and in our food. Wait till they find all this out. It's only started, just started. As the scripture says, there'll be no place for you to hide. So you keep enjoying your control over the media, your control over our governments, your control over the many of the so-called truther channels with your bullshit stories. But the Holy Spirit, you can't. You can't stop the Holy Spirit. The people that are taking care of their bodies and keeping their health at the top list, top priority, and making sure that they cleanse the body so the pineal gland works, because the pineal gland is our antenna to the spiritual world. That's how Father communicates with us. So if you're not hearing from the Father on a regular basis, or you seem to be a ship without any guidance, any radar, well, have you checked your health lately? Have you checked your diet? Have you checked the condition, your internal condition of your body parts? The pineal gland is the third eye, the connection to the Father's kingdom. Some of you are hearing a voice, all right, but you're hearing a local voice. You're hearing the God of this world, the Antichrist. Because you got to have a clear signal. You people have entertainment in front of your face 24/7. How do you think the Holy Spirit can communicate with you when you have so much noise and distraction in your life? Why do you think the Bible tells you to go to a quiet place? What do you think that means? Do you think it means go into the room with the Wi-Fi hooked up and your computer games and your mindless moronic entertainment over television or the radio blasting? You think that's what it's talking about? You think that's a quiet place? Well, gee, Dan,
that's the world we live in. You know, everybody's got a cell phone and everybody carries it with them all the time, 24/7. And you know, what am I going to do if I'm not watching TV or playing computer games? Gee willikers. I got a D minus on my latest math exam, and yeah, I'm not doing too good in English, and oh my God, trying to learn a foreign language would take too much effort. Oy vey. And you wonder why you're being abused. You wonder why your country's being taken from you. You wonder why you don't know which way's up and which way's down. As the scripture says, evil would be called good and good would be called evil. You wonder why that's happening. Because you guys don't know where the hell you're at. You don't know who you are. You don't know why you're here. You don't know anything except what the electronic toilet tells you. You regurgitate the evening news, the liars, the mainstream media, and the government, and agencies like the Center for Disease Control, CDC, full of lies, full of Jews. Anything full of Jews is going to be full of misleading information and outright lies. Well, Dan, you sound like you're anti-Jewish. Well, my Messiah was. Oh, well, Dan, my preacher told me that Jesus Christ was a Jew. I love that one. Jesus Christ was a Jew. Well, the word Jew has only been around since the 1700s, so what word did he use? Okay, 2,000 years ago, what did they call him, since the word Jew is a modern English word that didn't exist prior to the 1700s? So pray tell, you intellectual geniuses out there, come on, tell me. I already know the answer to this question, but you tell me. You tell me, what was it? You got all the answers. You think you know so much because of that flat screen you carry around with you. You have instant access to the internet and all this bullshit that's being passed around as truth. But you haven't spent one moment in a quiet place talking to the King of Kings. Oh, well, Dan, that's a fairy tale. I don't have a need of a God. I don't need a savior from on high. Or like one woman I saw on a channel recently, well, there ain't no old man up there going to guide me. Some young bitch thinks she's so smart, so galactic, so in tune with the universe. The universe, what, outside this dome? The universe that NASA and the same governments that have lied to you about everything else, you're that stupid? And you think you're in touch? Yeah, you're in touch with a spirit, all right. The same one that's going to cause you to die an early death, and not a very happy one either. Miserable death. What's that old saying? Oh, that's right. The brave die but once. A coward dies a thousand deaths. Basically a way of saying that for the rest of your miserable life, you cowards, you have to face the fact that you're a coward. Where the brave have already gone over to the other side, where we're all going to go one day anyway. Haven't figured that out yet, folks? This world's a temporary thing. Look how fast it goes by. I'm 65 years old. I feel like I'm 18 still. I can't believe all them years passed by. Time is a construct. Time is in this dimension that we're trapped in right here. We have no idea what's on the other side. You have no idea. Now they're telling you, well, we got to be worried about an asteroid, Dan. This asteroid might come and do this or that, or this meteor might come along and do this, or these aliens might come down and do. You guys still can't figure out the fear porn thing, huh? You can't figure out how to manipulate people? That's as old as man himself. How do you manipulate people? Fear! If you took the time to read once in a while, you might pick up some history books about the ancient civilizations and the Middle Ages. How did the Catholic Church stay in power for all this time? Fear! Why do you think they held Mass in Latin when nobody spoke Latin? It's so they could laugh their ass off at your stupidity. In Latin, that little rapist, child rapist, is up there going, these morons are here again today, thinking that I am going to tell them about the Christ. when I've got their little children in the basement of the Vatican. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Why in the world are you going to save us? I have no idea. I have no idea, really, honestly, why you would save a pathetic group of people like the white race. These other races serve a purpose. They were put here by the Father. And I'm not going to even begin to try to explain their purpose. I didn't create this world. I'm just here as a messenger. But they were created by him, so don't tell me otherwise. And the scripture is very, very plain that we are here amongst these other trees, these other races, and we're here to implement his law. That's what Adam was put here, to tend the garden. Go look up the word in the original language, tend the garden. All right, that means keep law and order. And we've given it over to the lawbreakers. Every white nation on this earth is headed up with people in government who are lawbreakers, aliens, aliens by race, aliens by culture, and most assuredly, aliens by faith. A simple job to do, and we can't do it. We can't get together. But praise Yahweh for people like Susan and her husband and the folks working. There are some out there actually doing things instead of sitting around and bitching about stuff constantly. And yeah, you're right, I do, but that's my job. My job is to take a hat pin and stick it in your comfort zone called that bubble around your head. That's my job. That's what I promised I would do. That's what he gave me the talents that I have and trained me all my life to do what I'm doing right now. That's my job. If you have a calling to do that, then you should do it as well. But some people say, well, Dan, how come you don't have your rifle and marching on Washington, D.C.? Because that's not my job. What, so I can go up there and have some jerk off put a bullet in me and end my ministry? You do what the Father sets you up to do and you cannot fail. If you cease to do that, then you will fail. Each of you better figure out what your job is. And that doesn't mean there isn't a day coming when it is time to take the rifle and put on my combat boots and my helmet and take to the field. Yeah, I honestly believe that day will come. But I'll know it. I'll know it like the sun rising in the morning shines on my face. It'll be plain, it'll be simple, and I'll know it. And I'll be willing to die for it. Just as doing what I'm doing right now. I'm willing to die for what I do right here, right now. Knowing full well that I'm just one guy. I've got no protection other than what the Father gives me, other than what the Word tells me about. But I trust it. I've trusted it for over 20 years for the radio show and probably almost 40 years in the walking, talking to individual ministry. I've always trusted since I was a boy in the Bible verses. It says, if you are a righteous man like Noah, then you and your loved ones will be passed through the fire. You will come through. The fire is still there. Okay, those verses that talk about our people going through the fire, but it will not overcome you. But it doesn't say you're not going to feel the heat. It doesn't say that the flames aren't going to flicker over and maybe burn a few hairs on your arm. Doesn't say that. Nothing in Scripture says this walk through life is guaranteed to be a pleasure cruise every single day. All it says is you're going to see the fire, you'll feel the heat, but you will not be consumed by it. You shall overcome. What are we called in Scripture? Overcomers. Overcomers. We are going to overcome and we are going to win. We have no other choice, folks. We fight because that's our job. Like General Stonewall Jackson told his men in the Army of the South, duty is ours, consequences belong to the Father above. I'm paraphrasing. To do the right thing is our duty. And consequences be damned. if you're sitting around worrying about the consequences of doing the right thing, then you're in the wrong paradigm. You're in the wrong place as far as the kingdom is concerned. And you better get straight with the Father. And you better not waste any time, because things are heating up and things are progressing rapidly. This is the end of the age, folks, in case you haven't figured it out. And I would encourage folks to, especially the activists out there, if you have any kind of support you can give, whether it's your actions, your research abilities, or finances, that you let me know and I can pass it on to Susan and her people. They're getting results, folks. You're talking about, well, nobody, yeah, here's somebody doing something, all right? And having success. And let me tell you another little story. Do you think possibly Father's watching whether you get involved or not when you have a chance? Do you think Father's taking note of an opportunity that comes your way and you let it go? I know if I sat on that throne up there, I'd sure be paying attention, and I'd be taking some very careful notes. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What greater love hath a man than he that would give his life for a friend? It doesn't necessarily mean give your life in the sense of dying. It means give up some of your lifetime pursuits, such as your television, your entertainment, your sports, your gorging your face full of food that you don't need, going down to the bars, going to the beaches, vacations, all the things you do to occupy your time that don't accomplish a damn thing. Just putting that out there so you can put it in your pipe and smoke it. If you don't think it's being noted, your actions and inactions, yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. I'll guarantee it. So we have a war. And I've been I was just sent an email from the lady we interviewed some time ago, Kathy. She's from Tennessee. She has her own YouTube channel. She does a really great job called it's WGON. What Goes On News or something like that. But it's WGON is her YouTube channel. But she just sent a note out. Let me read it here. Say people are waking up. I put that baby photo. It has been now proven that that baby with the measles that the news is all putting everywhere that died is actually a stock photo that was photoshopped. It's been proven. So again, the media lies. Lie, 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 lie. She goes, I put that baby photoshop picture in one of my reports. President Trump is now pushing for children to be vaccinated. And he used to be against it. I guess Big Pharma got to him. Trump is a Trojan horse, folks. I hate to tell you this. Everybody says, well, Trump was going to do the right thing. Well, when? 2.5 years into this thing, and when's that going to happen? How could anybody that is supposed to be so smart and have access to so much information, and yet he supports vaccinating our children? Are you kidding me? Anybody with a modicum of training in natural health will tell you that the most important thing you have to keep yourself and your loved ones free from disease is called an immune system. Gosh, Dan, are you trying to tell me that my own body can defend myself? Yeah, dumbass. It's called an immune system. Works like a champ. The only problem is you people don't pay any attention to your immune system, so most of you are walking around with a deficient one. So you're running down to Big Pharma to put poison in your body that isn't going to help you one bit. It's going to help them, but it's not going to help you. Because everybody that knows anything of truth knows that the body's immune system is the best
defense you could possibly have. Now, here's why. Because your immune system is an intelligent immune system. It knows how to correctly identify an alien germ, virus, fungus, whatever. Vaccines don't. Just like antibiotics don't differentiate between good bacteria and bad bacteria. It kills all bacteria, including the good guys. But your immune system and the natural things like garlic, silver, and other antibiotics and antiviral material in nature, they don't hurt the good guys. Your immune system does not hurt the good guys, only the bad guys. I wonder why they're not telling you that. Why are they telling you to put a pharmaceutical product in your body instead of just, why don't you get your health back, folks? You'd be happier, live longer, have less problems. You know what? You might not even need that expensive health care insurance. I know I don't spend any money for health insurance. I've never done that in my entire life. I don't do it. I've had a few jobs where they provided it, but I didn't ask for it, and I didn't pay for it, because I don't want it. I've never wanted it. And yet here I am at 65 years old feeling like I'm 18. So let me know how your system works out for you as you pay all those hard-earned dollars for a system that's going to tell you that the only thing that it's going to pay for is the medical mafia's version of cut, burn, and poison. They're not going to pay for naturopathic remedies or like Beamer mats and biomeds and biomats and all these other things and technology that's been around for decades that could actually help you. We're not going to pay for that because, after all, we're tied in with Big Pharma and Big Jew Medicine. And they're not going to make any money if you use natural. So we're not going to pay for that. So you bought into that. You paid into that. How's it working out for you? Okay? I'm asking. Call in. It's open forum here. Unlike the major news media and the social media platforms, we don't have any censorship here. I even invite people in that want to argue about what the shape of the world is. You can come in and argue with me. I don't really care. Just don't tell me I have to believe you or follow whatever you say, because I have a right to my opinion as well. So if you're willing to talk intelligently, anybody can come in here and talk about anything. I don't care. But by God, you better have the right attitude. You come in here and start preaching as if you got all the answers and none of us do, you're not welcome, period. You're not welcome. I've had some of the greatest conversations, brothers and sisters, on subjects such as the patriarchal family and polygamy and circumcision and vaccination and flat earth and all these other things, you know. But you have been programmed and propagandized to the point where you are triggered just by those words being mentioned. Have you ever thought about that? Watch a group of people, like I did one time when I started attacking the writings of Paul. I had half of a church walk out on me simply because I told them that if you see a writing of Paul's that is in contradiction to the words of Christ or the prophets, you have to take Paul's writings and throw it out, if that's what you believe. I had half the congregation got up and walked out just for me telling them that. But you know what? The ones that stayed behind, we had a great fellowship and went on to learn other things. The rest of them lost out. Scripture says to take in all things and keep that which is good. Isn't that what it says? What do you think that means? It means keep an open mind. You don't know everything. Father says work together as a team, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how we do it. A team. A team doesn't mean that one walks in going, this is the way it is, and by God, we're going to do it this way, and you all can go to hell. Well, you're not welcome in my camp. Welcome to the program, Jimmy.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Dan. I just wanted to come in and mess with your mixing board and make you run your channel like I run mine, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I just thought I'd bust your chops a little bit. Listen, I wanted to send out a shout out to Brother John down there in South Florida. Boy, does he sound like me when I get fired up or what? But I also wanted to echo Susan's encouragement. By the way, I'm very happy that I had the honor to listen to Susan, and we are in touch by email now. But John, I tell you, brother, I get wound up like no other, even on my shows with Music Man Barry and some of the ones we do after Dan's shows. I make Dan my last show on Wednesdays because I'm so busy, I need my sleep. I'm an old man, not near the old man Daniel is, but I'm trailing behind him. Dan, I did get your email, and I want to speak with you on that Central Florida project. But I just wanted to, you know, get my 2 cents in and give John some encouragement. You know, I get frustrated too, but we're not going to do each other any good stroking out or getting our blood pressure going. And again, I know that's the pot calling the kettle black. And Dan, I have to say, I reran our Cody Snodgrass interviews yesterday, and it was you and I met on the third interview, and I listened to that, and I was like a kid in a candy store when I met you. I was listening to your interview with me when we jumped over to your show, and I never really answered your questions. I was so excited. So it was. I called you. I wanted to let you know it was on, but John, just listen, brother. Don't lose the fire in your pants. Please don't. But don't stroke out on us because I do the same. But we have got to stay healthy. We've got to stick together. And with that, Dan, thanks for giving me a few minutes of airtime, and I'm very, very honored to have put Susan in our quill of weapons, and I can't thank her and her husband enough for all they do and for all you do, Dan. I'm here if you want to pick up something later before the end of the show. Otherwise, if you have a minute, give me a shout later.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling
in. All right, Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Yep. See, that's what I mean, folks. See, a team works, okay? Jimmy's listening in the background while he's still listening. He's contacting Susan. He's listening to John. He'll contact John. We work together. That's how it works, okay? And John's right, okay? Is this an ugly situation? Sure it is, all right? Would I like to be able to reach over here to my right and press a big red button that says Obadiah 18? Yeah, I sure as hell would. But that's not the world we live in, okay? I didn't create this. Father Yahweh did. All I can tell you is what I've been shown, and the obvious desire of our Father that we work together as a team, all of us. And the only way that's going to happen is when you take ego and put it off to the side. All right? Take your, excuse my French, goddamn ego, and put it over there on the nightstand when you get out of bed in the morning, and you can put it back on when you go to sleep, but leave it on that nightstand when you're dealing with the rest of us. We don't need egos. We don't need pontificating morons who think they have all the information. You haven't figured out yet? This is all to make us work as a family. We're in this trouble because we forgot to be a family. We let the government determine our children's education. We let the government tell our children what to believe and think. We let the government tell the children not to trust us. When the whole time, that's your job, mother and father. Raise your children. The government has no right in education. Did you know that? None. None. The government has no right in any matters of health. None. There are public servants. They took an oath of office. When they violate it, they are outlaws. Do you understand what an outlaw is? Go look it up. You have a dictionary. They're even easy now. They're electronic. How much easier can that be? Just type it in. Outlaw. And you think they deserve our support and obedience and reverence? Outlaws? Walk away from Babylon. As individuals and as groups of individuals. Stop asking our public servants
if it's okay to be upset. Same thing with weapons and self-defense. The government has no authority. Read the DICK Act, D-I-C-K Act, the DICK Act. They have no authority. Go back and read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, specifically the Second Amendment. They have no authority. Go look at the ad hoc committee that spent 2 years of taxpayers' money looking into the Second Amendment. It was back in the 1980s. It was headed up, I think, by Orrin Hatch, some prominent politician. But it was an ad hoc committee. And guess what? After 2 years of spending millions and millions and millions of dollars of research of the American taxpayer, you know what the finding of that committee was? The Second Amendment means what it says, that the people have the right to keep and bear arms. Why, thank you, my public servants, my cacistocracy, government by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. Now, my listeners have said, Dan, we're going to call you Commander Dan. And here's why. Here's why. Because I jokingly call this a command center. Okay, that's my little fantasy. It's mine. Let me have it. Okay? And the other reason is because you people have a mental construct when you hear the word pastor. So that when I speak as a commander, and some of the men get a little heated like John did, and sometimes Jimmy does. And by the way, Jimmy, thank you so much, buddy, for I know your passion. And when you keep that passion under control when you call in, I so much appreciate it. We all know that you are red hot on the inside. So, but the point of it is, when we talk as men, that occasionally happens. And even the apostles and even the prophets spoke such ways in their day. So, but you people are so brainwashed. And you watch so much of that damn Talmud vision that when you hear the word pastor, you're triggered to have a mental image of something that does not exist. Okay? I've gone to lots of churches, and I've been around a lot of, quote, pastors. And let me tell you, off camera, they're a whole lot like the rest of us. Okay? I know that for a fact. So by calling me commander, then you puts all that to bed. Okay? I don't want to hear your crap about, well, Dan, that's the kind of rough language. Well, then just think of me as Commander Dan, all right? I'm here to motivate. I'm here to educate. I'm here to give spiritual insight. And I'm here to give a message that was given to me. That's my job. And I'll use whatever language I think appropriate to get that point across. Now, to come up here and speak every other word is the F-bomb? No, of course not. That's ridiculous. But these are intense times, and the church world, meaning the body of believers, men and women, is so inept and impotent that you got to stick a hat pin in their ass. They've been sitting on pews for so long, their butts are no longer round, they're flat, just like their personalities. They don't count for anything. What did Christ say about the salt when it loses its savor? Well, that's right. It's only good to be thrown onto the ground and trampled under the feet of men. What do you think that expression's telling you? When you don't have an effect on the world around you, you're no good to anybody. The best you can be used for is on a snowy day throwing you under the treads of my truck tires so I can get out of a ice pack. That's all you're good for. You're no longer a preservative. You have no savor to savor the food or to preserve this world. White man and white woman. Well, Dan, Jesus loves everybody. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And he wanted the little black babies and the brown babies and the yellow babies and the little Jewish kids. He wanted them to sit on his lap. Well, maybe in your mental constructed Zionist-controlled brain, that's the Christ that walked the earth. But unfortunately, I've actually read the scriptures. Unfortunately, I've actually read the letter from Pontius Pilate to Caesar and many other extra-biblical accounts, and that's not who Christ Jesus was. So you can keep your lie if you want, but I'll stick with the truth because it's the truth that sets us free. It's also the truth that saves us, soter in the Greek language, saving from physical harm here and now, has nothing to do with the hereafter. That whole church thing is a great big facade. That's why, in a way, when I heard that Notre Dame was burning to the ground, I thought, maybe Yahweh actually set that fire. To burn the hypocrisy of the whole cathedral thing, the whole Roman Catholic lie, burn it to the ground. There's no truth in that building. It's dishonesty. And if you were to see what was below the ground at that cathedral, it would make you puke. If you knew what the monasteries and churches of the Roman Catholic Church were doing underground, what's stored down there, the things that happened down there, the things they're hiding down there, it'd make you vomit. And yet you people think that's a symbol of our Messiah and those that believe in Messiah? Really? You really think that? You've ever noticed the Catholic Church and all the gargoyles and all the strange symbology? In fact, the very garments that these morons wear, these workers of iniquity. Okay? They wear yarmulkes. What's that tell you? They wear a mitered hat. What's that tell you? When did Christ wear any of that stuff? Let's see. Never. Never. When did Christ go around and ask you to bend down and kiss a ring on his finger? Well, first of all, he didn't wear any rings, and he sure as hell wouldn't have asked you to bend down and kiss it. But you think the vicar of Christ is okay in doing that? Really? Even though he's a Bolshevik Jew who is determined to eliminate the white race and true Christians? He's the vicar of Christ. Well, okay, anointed which one? Satan's anointed or Yahweh's anointed? You know, you can be anointed by different people. Which one are you talking about? Cacistocracy. That's what we're trapped in, a cacistocracy. I'm going to tell my men-at-arms, my brothers out there, the same thing the Roman Emperor Trajan said. Use this sword, whatever form the sword takes, folks. It's a weapon. It can be used for defense or offense. But we of the Christ always call for the sword in defense of our loved ones and the defense of the innocents and defense of truth and justice. Use this sword against my enemies if I give righteous commands, if I speak to you of righteous things. But if I give unrighteous commands, use it against me. Wake the hell up, folks. I'm looking down here. I thought I had another one I wanted to read to you, but, you know, it's amazing to me, and I pray Yahweh for that, because none of this is scripted, as Jimmy and I have talked about many, many times, because his program is pretty much the same way. We don't script any of this. None of this is talked about ahead of time. None of it's scripted. There are no sheets of paper with verbiage on them and everything else. A few jotted down notes just to help me keep on track, which doesn't work very well, obviously. So it's pretty much a leading of the Spirit. I say hallelujah. Sometimes I pick a topic and we'll get through half the program before I ever get to it because of calls or because of other things that come along or the Holy Spirit leads in a different direction. Hallelujah for that. I wish these whitewashed sepulchers would do things that way instead of reading their canned sermons that they get once a year from, like, the Methodist Church. The headquarters of the Methodist denomination sends them out to all the preachers, all of the Baal priests Jezebel's Baal priests. Once a year, they get their authorized and approved sermons to make sure they don't step on any of the Jews' toes. Isn't that sweet? They forgot to send me mine, so I don't have to worry about appeasing my Jewish enemies. I'll call them out for what they are. Cretans, liars, misfits, pornographers, pedophiles, pedivores, traitors, dual citizenship traitors. It's a shame that we really don't have good guys in the military that would do the right thing, because they would go in and arrest every one of these dual citizenship traitors. And every congressman that votes for an anti-Semitism law should be arrested. Every governor that signs an anti-Semitism law should be arrested for treason. And if DeSantos pays homage to a foreign god and comes back to the United States, every sheriff in Florida should have an arrest warrant ready. So Mr. DeSantis is arrested as soon as he gets off the plane for treason against we, the people, and these United States. Treason against those who worship the true Christ versus the Antichrist Jew. Yeah, I know, Rick, that the Jews put a lot of shekels in your pocket, but you've committed treason. So you might want to think about staying over there in that litter box called Israel, because the sheriffs here should have warrants for your arrest. You've committed treason. Violation of your oath of office and treason against us as a people, us as a country, us as a faith. Treason, DeSantos. Treason. You sign a red flag law? Treason. If you're a sheriff and you enforce a red flag law, treason. If you're a local policeman enforcing any of the above, treason. If you're a soldier enforcing any of the above, treason. I can't wait till the rednecks and the militia are set free. I pray Yahweh do it soon. Set these good men and women free in our militias and in our citizen soldiers, because we don't have to take this crap. These people in, quote, authority might have pretty uniforms and badges, but they are outlaws. They are outlaws. Those uniform and badges and military uniforms identify them as traitors. Pretty soon it'll be time for those in uniform to decide on which side of the fence they're going to light, because right now they're working for the enemy. Treason. Treason. Now, the topic for today was the flood, and I'm only going to cover it quickly. We don't have the time to go into a detailed word study, but there's two floods that I was speaking of when I said that. Noah's flood, of course, we all know that's a great big lie that the mainstream churches, etc., that put it down upon us, that it was a worldwide flood. Well, you know, I've had people say, well, Dad, there's evidence of a worldwide flood. Really? Where is it? Because the Chinese have an unbroken history that goes back well past the time of the flood. India has documents that go back past the flood. Wait a minute. Well, if it's a worldwide flood, explain that to me. How does their history go unbroken? There's no record in their ancient histories of a flood that wiped them all out. And here's the best proof of all that it was a local flood and not a worldwide flood. Where did all the races come from? Now, please, this is going to be very difficult, but I want you to think about this for just a second. So turn off your damn entertainments and diversions. I want you to think about something here. Where did all the races come from? Now, your answer is going to determine whether you go into the kingdom of Yahweh or not. That's how important it is. Think about this, boys and girls. Where did all the races come from? Now, in your pea brain, I want you to picture the Aborigines of Australia and some of the tribesmen of Africa. Put that mental picture. They're all over the internet. You can find them if you don't own any. I've looked at all of them. But mentally take those pictures and put them up in front of you. Some of these Aboriginal people from central India and ancient China and Mongolia All these different people. Put that image up there. Now, where did they come from? Oh, well, Dan, they came from the sons of Noah. Really? They came from the sons of Noah. So, let's see. Abraham and Sarah were white people, and Noah and his sons were white people. And you're going to tell me that this mental image I've got here in front of me of all these various creatures. Now, these creatures have a right to life, liberty, and property. Don't get me wrong. But they're still creatures. The Bible calls them creatures in the original language. You people call them mankind, but that's because you're simpletons and you don't know any better. The original language just called them creatures, meaning created beings. Okay, so these creatures came from white men and white women. And, okay, you actually believe that? I'm sitting here with a great big astonished look on my face as I'm telling you that. You actually believe that these creatures came from a white man and a white woman? I could sell you sand in the Sahara Desert. That's how stupid you are. Okay? I'm just saying it. You know, you can believe anything you want to believe. You know, there's an old saying, the truth stands on its own. It takes the force of government to promote a lie. If the government's promoting it, it's a lie. Truth stands on its own. You don't need censorship. You don't need anything for truth. Lies take the force of government. Lies take censorship from the CIA-created Facebook, Twitter, Google, all the rest of them, all CIA government-run operations. Okay? That's their job. They're gatekeepers. They're enemies of mankind. So just let that percolate through your brain, okay? I know it's difficult. The brain's not functioning too good in most people today, but let that sink in. You got this mental picture. You got all these races, and your church and your mainstream media and all want you to believe that all of these people came from a pair of white people. Do you really understand how totally and utterly ridiculous that sounds? Especially when you stack that up against the fact that the white race has only been here for about 7,000 years. So all of you, I won't use the term I'd like to use, all of you simpletons that want to believe in the evolutionary process, even though the third law of thermodynamics says that all things go from an ordered state to a disordered state unless acted upon by an outside intelligent force. Okay? Outside intelligent force. Nothing in nature goes from a disordered state to an ordered state on its own. It devolves. So the very thing that you believe and that these morons want you to believe violates the laws of thermodynamics. Okay? It's called cognitive dissonance, folks. It's also called an oxymoron. They want you to believe something that's completely opposite from truth. Evolution, when reality is devolution. Evolution doesn't happen. Devolution does. We do get changes, unless acted upon by an intelligent outside force. You do get changes, all right, but it's in the negative direction, not the positive. Now, as intelligence has left the United States, you have an experiment in front of your very face. Look at America 100 years ago and America today. Have we evolved higher? No, we have devolved because we're no longer acted upon by an outside intelligent force. We're acted upon by a Bolshevik regime that has committed insurgency in our land. And they're not intellectuals. I don't care what anybody tells me. Well, damn, Jews are very smart people. Really? If I come into your house and steal your invention, or I steal your intellectual property and claim it for myself, does that make me a smart man? Or does that make me a thief? Okay? So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Jews are not smart. And here's your proof, okay? If Jews were smart, why would you steal everybody's intellectual property and call it, and claim it for yourself? Why would the Jews have stolen the motion picture technology from the American inventors and run off to the West Coast to implement it when they should have gone to prison? Why would they do that if they're so smart? Why did they steal the inventions of people like Henry Ford and Thomas Edison and other people such as that, that we don't even know their names? Or the young boy from, I think it was Missouri, out in the cornfields, that came up with how to make a motion picture tube work. Nobody else could do it, not even the scientists, not the PhDs, the engineers. Nobody could make it work. This teenager figured out how to make it work, and the Jews from RCA stole it. And when he took them to court and won, they challenged the court's decision for the next 20 years. They paid lawyers millions of dollars to keep it in the courtrooms for 20 years until the patent ran out. That's how they work. But they're smart people. Oh my gosh, yeah. They're full of integrity, and they're God's chosen people. But, you know, where in the Bible does it say that I'm supposed to steal other people's property to enrich myself? I can't find it. Would you please send it to me? Send me the verses that say that it's okay to steal another people's property to enrich myself. Would you please send that to me? Now, I can find it in the Talmud, the Jews' holy book, the same holy book that it's okay, says it's okay to have sex with a three-year-old child of other races. It's okay to enslave the people of other races. It's okay to commit murder against the unborn because it's just a fetus. It's just a blob of cells. Okay, that's in the Talmud. So the Talmud teaches all this, but the Talmud's not our book. It's the Babylonian Talmud. It's called Babylonian Talmud for a reason. It's the rantings of rabbis over hundreds of years. And last time I checked, rabbis aren't the most moral of people. So is that what you're telling me? These Jews, they're smart, they're moral, upstanding people, really? They don't follow a single precept that Christ taught, not one, as a people and as individuals. They're antichrists, exactly as we're told in the New Testament. Those that deny the Christ are, what's that again? What's it say? All you churchgoers, come on, give it to me, come on. Antichrists. Now, I'm having trouble recollecting the verses that say that antichrists come into the kingdom. I can't seem to find it. Seems to me the righteous come into the kingdom, but I can't find where cowards, liars, misfits, perverse, fornicators, homosexuals, transgenders, traitors, murderers, thieves, I can't find it. I can find a list like that, but it's not for people coming into the kingdom. It's for the tares that get bundled up and thrown into the fire. What does fire represent in the Bible? Judgment and destruction. What's going to happen to the tares? They'll be bundled up by his angelos, his messengers. They will be identified. They will be bundled up. And they will be thrown into the fire. That's an idiomatic expression that says that they will be utterly destroyed. Do you want to be a terror? Let me ask you. Is that your goal in life, to be a terror? You have a right. Yeah, you have a right. And you have a right to burn in the fires that are coming. Yep, you do have that right. Now, the Jew will make it financially beneficial for you to be a terror, because they love that. That's why all these mega churches and these talking heads like Joel Osteen and John Hagee and Kenneth Copeland and all these other lying misfits, they're rewarded handsomely for being the liars that they are. Handsomely. But what are they going to do on Judgment Day, when the Jews are no longer around and their money is gone and their shekels are no longer in your pockets and you stand naked before the King of Kings? What are they going to do? Oh, that's right. the Jews have convinced them that it'll be Lucifer they'll stand in front of and they'll get a great big reward. Really? Let me know how that works out for you, boys. Let me know how it works out for you. I can't picture that going very well. Now, my trip through this dimension, this three-dimensional world called Earth, the cosmos, the order, it's not the whole world, it's been a struggle. And I'm not rich, and I have no army to protect me. I actually don't have much of anything to protect me except my Father and his promise to watch over us, as Psalm 91 says. Pray that psalm every day, folks, or at least as often as you think of it. Psalm 91, the soldier's psalm. We are soldiers for our king. Psalm 91, and read of the protections for his people. John, I'm going to highly recommend you read it, and read it every day, buddy. And you too, Jimmy. You guys are warriors in the army for our King of Kings. There's no doubt about that. I know you. I know you guys. I've met you personally. I've had many discussions with you. And I know the spirit that's within you, and so does the Father. Your position in the kingdom has been secured, so just relax a little bit. Read Psalm 91. The day of fighting is very close, okay? And let me remind you of something. When the day of fighting gets here, you might actually have a thought pop in your head that, you know, those days of just being able to tune into to Dan or to Jimmy's show or listening to something or walking down the road, maybe it wasn't quite as bad as I thought. Because when hell breaks loose, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly very, very fast. And it will be intense. So I've told people for many, many years, you know, you might want to enjoy the sun in your face and the relative peace amongst our people today. Because when this thing goes hot, it's literally a war to the end, folks. And if you think these people are going to go away peacefully, you're crazy. Look what Donald Trump is doing. He wants your children forcefully vaccinated. There's people advocating, quote, laws to have you imprisoned if you don't vaccinate. That's treason. They have identified themselves as the Antichrist, folks. And you're sitting there think that group is our government? No, it's a cacistocracy of aliens who look like what used to be our government. Our government's gone. You're governed by the King of Kings. You're governed by yourself. You're governed by whatever you believe in and what you accept. That's your government. Those morons in Washington are misfits and traitors, every single one of them. It's all kabuki theater, everything going on in Washington, D.C. One great big stage. That's just a great big stage. District of criminals. District of criminals. I wouldn't listen, and I don't anymore. I don't watch anybody telling me anything about what those jackasses are doing. That's not my government. And now that Rick DeSantis has identified himself as a worshiper of the Antichrist, he's not my governor. He doesn't govern me. He might be able to get some thugs to come down here in uniform and shoot me. Yeah, that's probably true. But that doesn't make him my governor. I owe him no allegiance. And if the county sheriff doesn't have enough balls to keep the governor in line, then he doesn't have my allegiance either. He's unconstitutional. Because that's the only legitimate job of the chief law enforcement man in a county, is to protect me from errant federal and state government officials. That's their only legitimate job. So if they're not doing it, they themselves are outlaws. You see why I say your prayer life had better be number one right now, folks? You better be in real close prayer and real close observance of our Heavenly Father as we go forward. I'm telling you, it's getting that serious. Now, I was sent Micah chapter 7 by one of our listeners from the Ozarks, and bless her heart. And I thought, wow, how appropriate. In fact, I sent an email out with a description of the Stockholm Syndrome, because our white race is exhibiting what they call the Stockholm Syndrome, where it's named after an actual event that happened where hostages came to admire and love the people holding them hostage because it was easier. Resisting them and possibly being hurt by them was more painful than actually saying that they admired and worshipped their kidnappers. The Stockholm Syndrome, where you love your enemy because you're a coward and you don't want to resist anymore. That's basically what it's saying. And the white race is exhibiting the Stockholm Syndrome. So I put that in there. I put in Micah chapter 7 and a link to a song called Ode to a Dying People by the group called Saga. The original song was done by a group called Rahowa, which is Racial Holy War, R-A-H-O-W-A, Rahowa, Racial Holy War, on their CD Cult, Cult of the Holy War was the name of their album. And it's, I think you can still get it. Great songs, really good songs, especially about Germany, but Ode to a Dying People. And let me take this call before I get into Micah 7 here. Welcome to the program, Henry.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
I'm very familiar with that song. I used to listen to that. I still do. And I appreciate when you sent it on that link. But when I got that, when I listened to that song the last time, it really got me to thinking about what's going on with our country and in Europe, with the overwhelming mass migrations, the purposeful filling of our nations with these sub-Saharans and Muslims, all for a purpose, all you know, eventually to get the clash of the cultures that they, in parentheses, the Jews want. And I'm pretty confident now, and this is based on my understanding of Scripture, and I welcome your critique on this. I was getting caught up for a while with all the fear-mongering about, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but bear with me. I was getting caught up a lot with the fear-mongering about a potential nuclear war with Russia, and that's how this is all going to end and all that. But my eyes have been opened recently, and I've been studying Ezekiel 38 and 39, and it seems clear to me that this influx of all these foreigners, which is on the uptick big time, especially in Europe, but it's gaining a lot in this country as well. And Trump is doing nothing about it, absolutely nothing about it. And as I read Ezekiel 38, it seems to me that it's pretty clear that what it's talking about, that's what it's talking about, the flooding of this nation, true Israel. You know, I recall when I was younger, whenever preachers would talk about Gog and Magog, and that's what Ezekiel 38 and 39 is about, they would always teach you that Gog and Magog was Russia and China, and that Russia and China will be invading this nation called Israel, this piece of shit nation of modern-day Israel. And, of course, Christ was going to come and save the day, save Israel. Israel wins. Jews are saved, yada, yada, yada. But it's pretty clear, now that I understand the Scriptures a lot better, through the identity message, when just Gog and Magog to me represents this in the entire Arab world and this infiltration that is happening into our country right now, and especially in Europe where it's even worse, because I believe that all these nations, these Arab nations, are truly allied with the Jews, and they're using them against true Israel. Not Israel, modern state Israel, but true Israel, which, of course, is white nations of the world. So anybody that pays attention to what's going on with these migrant invasions can see that we're being surrounded right now. But the good news is, in Ezekiel 39, we will overcome that. So I'm not going to fear monger with the Russian nuke attacks and all that stuff, because I think the true battle is going to be here, and it's going to be against these dark-skinned invaders that are here for one purpose. Do I interpret that properly, or do you have a different take on that?
No, I would say you're pretty much right on the money, and thank you, by the way, because the title for today was The Flood, and this is the second part. The first part was talking about Noah's flood. The second part was the latter-day flood into all of the nations that Jacob Israel ends up, meaning the white race. And you're right. These floods and these descriptions in Ezekiel of the flood coming in are all these non-Israelite people. And some, you know, a lot of people get caught up in, well, what's the actual definition of Gog and Magog and Meshach and Tubal and Cush and Persia and Put? Those were geographical areas, all right?
Right.
So, folks, listen up. There's only two races on this earth. There's only two. Israelites and non-Israelites. That's it. When you're looking at Scripture, whatever term they use in an ancient language, it's either an Israelite area or a non-Israelite. That's it. The Bible is for the Israelites. It's their history. It's their covenants. It's their future. Period.
Right.
So when Ezekiel's talking about the invasion of all of these non-Israelite people, whatever their color. Now, Arab is a Hebrew word that means dark. Okay, so Arab can mean a raven because it's black, or a crow because it's black. It just means dark, and it applied to birds, but it also applied to people. So context is how you figure it out. So the Arab people are the darker than the white man. White man is the whitest thing on earth, right? We are the translucent. Our skin is translucent. We show blood in our veins. That's why the old saying used to be, he's a blue blood. Well, the Jew got a hold of our history books and made it like in ancient times, being called a blue blood was a term of derision, meaning you're one of those white privileged guys. No, that's not what it meant. The ancient cultures looked at the white race as if they were gods, and that's been proven over and over again. And so when they said you're a blue blood, it's because when you put your forearm up, you can see the blue veins going up through your arm. That's what that meant. Okay? No other race does that. And we're talking pure, okay? If they've mixed with the white race, that's a bastard, and that's an aberration. We're talking about the white race. Put your arms out there and look at your arms. You see blue veins. Blue bloods. There's only two people in the Bible, no matter what you're reading. The blue bloods of Adam and the non-Adamites, the non-Israelites. And that's it. That's all there is. And so if you're having trouble trying to discern what the Scripture is talking about, and Ezekiel is what you're saying here, Henry, Ezekiel's telling us there would be a flood of non-Israelites of all kinds.
Yeah.
There could be Guatemalans. And again, that's just a country. What about the race?
Right.
Well, all kinds of races are coming in here. Orientals,
non-white.
Black,
right.
Brown, pink, blue, green, transgender. I mean, you name it. Every filthy bird, evil spirit is flooding into our white nations. And the Jew in their media is trying to tell us that, well, they're refugees that just want a better life. Well, why don't we send the money to their country to help them out instead of to you bastard Jews? You Jews own all the international banks. You're rich beyond imagination. And yet we're sending you 30-some billion dollars in aid? What? Well, why don't we send it to these poor slobs in these other countries? They could live like kings on that much money. Okay, so it shows, again, their hypocrisy. They want these people in our lands because it divides us. It brings disease. It brings crime. It brings racial tension. Exactly what the Jew wants. They're hideous monsters. Hideous monsters.
Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer. Exactly right. So while people with low IQ, white people that their IQs drop down below the century mark, they're sitting going, well, they're just poor, downtrodden other people want a better life, Dan. Well, go back to sipping on your moonshine and reading your magazines and watching your mind-numbing bullshit television and leave me alone, because you're the walking dead. If you're that stupid, you're part of the walking dead. Because you read in Ezekiel, you read George Washington's vision, you read the other prophets, Yahweh is going to open up the earth and swallow up these people. That's right around the corner. I want John and Jimmy and Mark and Susan and you and all the other listeners to understand something. Father is not going to allow this flood to take his children. It may take your relatives. It may take a lot of the people you see in front of you day in and day out at work or in your neighborhood. Yeah, they might be gone, but it ain't going to come to the house of an Israelite, a true Israelite. Jacob, Israelite, white man that believes in Yahweh and follows the law. Okay? That's the criteria, folks. I'm sorry. During the Passover, the Hebrews had to have faith in Yahweh, and they put the blood of the lamb that was sacrificed over their doorposts and lintels going into their house. If I'm not mistaken, I think they also put it over the windows, but I do know the doorways, every doorway. Otherwise, every portal into your domicile was covered. And symbolically, that's every doorway coming into your body today should be covered in the blood of the Lamb. That means your eyes, your mouth, your ears should be going through the filter of our King of Kings and his law. Nothing comes through the eyes, the ears, or the mouth that doesn't pass the test of his scripture, his truth, his honesty, his purity. Hybrid seeds, not the GMO, the herbicide foods, the vaccines, all of these poisons, you're not to let them into your temple. You have a holy temple. Why would you let the profane into the temple? It pollutes you. It pollutes you physically in the body. It pollutes your brain. And we're told not to allow that to happen. So, Henry, as far as Ezekiel, what he's warning us, it happened back then, it's happening now. We have a flood coming in. The Antichrist Jew, who works for his father Satan, is flooding every white nation in an attempt to destroy the children of the king. That's us.
No doubt.
Yep. And yet we're going to win, Henry. We're going to win.
Yeah, because Ezekiel 39... that's what it's all about. We do win. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'll read it right here. Three verses, starting at verse 6. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 7. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen of the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. And verse 8, behold, it is come, and it is done, saith Yahweh God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. So that's the good news.
That's the good news. And what people could do, since we don't have a true identity Bible, nobody has actually produced one that I thought was worth a damn, you can take sections like here, you can highlight this and paste the words into a Word document, make up your own, and go in and do a word search for every time you see the word Israel and replace it with Jacob-Israel. Get our people, stop using that term. That's how the enemy has brainwashed our people, that
right.
Israel is talking about that litter box in Palestine, even though the country's actually called Israeli. It's not Israel,
yeah.
It's Israeli. Because it is a lie.
It's amazing. When I first started understanding the identity message, that would throw me so many times. I'd be reading scriptures, and every time I'd see Jew, the word Jew or Israel, you have to stop and think. It's automatic now. When I was just reading those three verses, when I said Israel, I knew in my mind I was thinking true Israel, you know, white nations. But, of course, you're right. For the people who are new to the message or unfamiliar with the terms and the way they've been misused and mistranslated, it's good to do that because when I try to explain this message to people who have been, you know, brainwashed their entire lives, like I was, it takes time. It takes a little, and you got to be a little diligent, and you know, you got to stay with it and persevere. But it doesn't. After a little while, every time I see the word Jew in a scripture verse, I know 95% of the time it really means Judean, and it really means if it's talking about the evil ones, it's talking about the Edomites who infiltrated Judea. Only with, you know, spending some time understanding the true message of the Bible, which is for just his chosen people who are us, not those despicable creatures in the state of Israel, modern-day Israel today. With a little time, you get used to the terminology, but you're right. I wish there was a Bible that had it totally translated properly. It would just be so much easier to just hand it to somebody. But
that's part of what the Ark Community Project will be, is that we are going to get a group of us elder men together. We have the technology now. It won't be that hard. We can take any version of the Bible that's relatively good in English, capture it, paste it into a Word document, let's say the whole book of Genesis, put it in there, and we can go in and take out all of these nonsensical terms like Israel and put Jacob Israel in there, and we can put footnotes at all the verses where we've done the word studies. As we do them, just put a footnote by a verse, and down at the bottom of the page, for people that read it later, just like the Geneva Bible writers did back in the 1500s, they went in there and did this manually, but they put the elders' commentary or footnotes in there to better describe the original language and the intent. And we know a whole lot more today than the Geneva Bible writers did in the 1500s. So, just like the word Jew, okay? Well, first of all, that should be nowhere in the Bible should be the word Jew. It's a made-up word. So it's either going to be Jehudite, meaning a tribe of Israel, or a Judean, somebody living in the land of Judah or Judah, and that's it. That's all that's talking about. And Jews infiltrated Judea, the Idumeans, and when it's talking about the people we call Jews today, change it to Idumeans or Edom Esau, because they are the scum of the earth that Obadiah says Yahweh is going to exterminate. Now, people say, well, damn, that sounds like you're advocating violence. Well, hey, take it up with Obadiah. Take it up with Ezekiel. Those are his words, not mine. I'm just pointing it out. Yep. Well, let me ask a question. Now, this is hypothetical, and this is a private conference call, so this isn't, they can't bitch that this is public. No, this is a private conference call. Let me ask you, Henry. If Obadiah came to pass, now this is hypothetical. If Obadiah 18 came to pass tonight at midnight, what kind of world would we live in tomorrow?
That would be wonderful.
Would we have the wars that we have today?
Absolutely not.
Would we have the polluted food that we have today?
Of course not.
Would we have the medical mafia doing what it's doing today?
None of it.
Would we have the mainstream media full of liars and deceivers like we have today?
That's a joke.
Would our families be stronger?
Oh, of course.
Would the men and women be happier?
Much.
Would our children be healthy and respectful?
Exponentially so.
So what you're telling me, then, it sounds to me like it would almost be like heaven on earth, wouldn't it?
I would say that's it.
So,
and I think...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So what we're saying is if Ezekiel in chapter 25 and Obadiah at verse 18, if and when
Yahweh does that, that's basically going to usher in heaven on earth and solve virtually every problem that mankind faces today. Isn't that true?
Without a doubt.
Oh. And, how about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't think... No, go ahead.
So the solution to mankind's problems is actually a relatively simple one, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Just, identifying the enemy is essentially the main task.
And here's one more, since Susan is here, and Mark and many of the other listeners that I chat with, would we have any corporations existing after that happened?
No way.
Corporations would go by the wayside. Would we have any more fraudulent insurance companies?
No.
Would we have affordable health care?
Yes. You know what it would be like? It would be... A lesser example of what it will be like after this takes place would be National Socialist Germany in the mid to late 30s. Not that that was perfect, and not that that was even close to as good as it's going to be when this takes place, but at least we have something in the past we can look to, a society where they were doing the right things. Not everything. It wasn't perfect. This will be perfect once this takes place. But
yeah.
at least there was an attempt at one point in our not too distant past, an attempt to make a good society did happen. And, of course, they suffered the ultimate price because of it.
Yeah, it's our disobedience that gets us in trouble every time. Okay, if we obeyed the Father and his laws, there'd be no more problem. I got into a debate about race recently. And I give the brother credit. He didn't get all belligerent and whatnot. He did listen. But we were on the opposite sides of the race issue, okay? The statement was made that by a natural process, we're all going to become just one big brown race. And in his opinion, that was a natural process. And I said, no, that's not a natural process. And he said, well, why do you say that? I said, because I'm sitting here today, a white man, after thousands of years of my ancestors. If they believed like you said, none of us would be pure anymore. And we are pure. The whole purpose of the DNA testing bullshit thing is to try to convince you that there are no pure races anymore. Everybody's got elements of everything else in them. That's a lie.
Right.
Okay, I'm here a white man today because my ancestors did follow the law and stayed within their kind. It's not natural to intermingle. In the animal kingdom, they don't do that, okay? They stay kind after kind. It's only when mankind gets involved that they violate the rules, okay? Nature itself aborts most mixed couplings, whether it's in the animal kingdom or human beings. If modern medicine and modern science didn't get involved, nature would abort most of the children of a mixed coupling, okay? That's a fact. That's not hearsay. That's a fact. So, you know, this whole bullshit thing that people want to believe that, well, we're just going to amalgamate into this one race and live happily ever after. I got news for you. That's the end of mankind.
Right. I mean, think about it. Other than white European nations, every other race in the world, everywhere else in the world, they've been mixing it up from the beginning of time. But only, I would say, last 50 years maybe or so, you started to see the mass immigration into the United States, and now you see what's going on in Europe. But up until then, how pure did the white European nations keep themselves? Pretty much so.
Exactly. Even when I was a boy, and you were a boy, Henry, most white people would not accept a racially mixed couple into their... Let me put it this way. My family was so strict on who you picked for a wife, they did not even condone a Catholic coming into our country, let alone a non-white.
I can recall those kind of days. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had an uncle that was ostracized his entire life for marrying a Catholic woman.
I never, I never, through my entire time going through grade school, high school, everything, even after high school, I never had, there was never a black in my any school I ever went to. I never even worked with a black my entire life. I guess I'm fortunate. But my brother who spent time in Vietnam, told me he had never had dealings with blacks before in his entire life, but then he joined the military. And when he was in Vietnam, he told me, he used to talk about this a lot, you just don't know what kind of animals they are until you have to work with them and so forth. He said, he told me some stories that were just mind-blowing. He thought, just like us, just different color, but not so. Given the opportunity, they will slit your throat. No matter how nice they might act in front of you, if the circumstances were right. So, personally, I've never had that, you know, and I had to deal with them, but I understood that he was telling the truth to me. So, and I see what's going on, you know, in Europe with these sub-Saharans and so forth and so on, and it's so disheartening.
Well, when are the white people going to rise up? You know, we don't have to take this bullshit.
No.
All right? No. We don't have to take it. That's the God's honest truth. We don't have to take it. We don't need anybody's permission to look out for our own race. We don't need anybody's permission.
I think there will be and there has to be. I think we're approaching it, too. A point in time where enough is enough, and I think it's very close to that now. I think a lot more people are starting to get, they may not be verbal about it and vocal, but I think a lot of white people are saying to themselves, boy, this is getting ridiculous. And when it gets to a point where they verbalize it and they're more open about it, that's when I think this Ezekiel 38 might manifest itself, and I hope it's soon.
Well, we're not going to have long to wait. Let's put it this way. It'll be in our lifetime, all right?
It has to be. Because, yeah.
It'll be in our lifetime. And that's partly why I was going to say that the people that listen to this program, I want you to know something, and this has come to me recently. Okay, and I'm not trying to demean any other platforms, any other teachers. I'm not trying to blow our own horn here. But I just want the listeners to understand something. You are part of a very select group of people. You might even call it the elect. And I'm saying this only from a standpoint of all the information I'm getting from all over the earth. I'm in contact with people all over the earth almost daily. You are a part of his elect. And we are having an influence on what's going on in this earth right now. Okay? I don't have enough time here this morning to tell you all the things that I can verify this with. You just need to hear me. Okay? You are part of his elect. Go read the scriptures that talk about the elect and how important that is. And you are having an influence not only in your day-to-day life, but you are having an influence on this program. Father is using this program, these talks, the witnesses of like Susan and Henry and Jimmy and John and everybody else, Michael when he's on here, Phil, many, many other people. What we are putting into the ethers and what we discuss here, because we're doing it in honesty and to promote our Father and his truths, the scripture says his word, his truths, will not go out into the ethers and come back void. I didn't realize that till this very recently. You and me are part of an extremely important event that is about to take place. You Amen. Are critical to this event. You're not just part of it. You are critical to this event. Please understand that. Take it to heart and let it console you, but also let it make you be very sober about just how important your walk, your faith, and your prayers are. Okay? I can't stress it enough at this time. Your walk, your faith, and your prayers, they are critical, because we have reached the, as one man calls it, the Omega point.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely. Yeah. I'm constantly in prayer about this, the situation that we find ourselves in. And when you listen to a song like that song, Ode to a Dying Race, it makes you so sad. That's a very, it's kind of a depressing song, but it makes you realize where we have, where we've arrived at this point and how we've let this happen to us. But fortunately, the song doesn't allude to the Ezekiel 39 aspect of this, where this is, it's not hopeless. It's the opposite of that. We are going to win. And I think the fact that we're so decimated right now makes me realize that we're that much closer to victory, because you have to get down to the almost the bottom of the barrel before it gets turned. That's true in so many different kinds of scenarios. That's just about where we are right now. It can't get much worse, so it has to get better. People are going to get angry. People are going to fight back. White people, I'm talking about. And
let me ask you a question. What direction do you go when you're on rock bottom?
Nowhere else to go but up.
That's exactly right. There is nowhere else to go but up. And we're pretty close to rock bottom. Yeah.
When you think, you know what makes me realize we are in rock bottom? When you see the Jews spewing out anti-white propaganda like they are right now, it is so astounding. I think that's to their own detriment, because it has to be waking people up. These new anti-Semitism laws and all that stuff, if that isn't enough to wake up the average whitey, I don't know what is, because it's so in your face now. It's just, oh, man, it just blows the mind.
But here's another thing. Think about this. A lot of this stuff is, they're doing us a favor because they're showing us who the true Israelites are and who our enemies are. Okay?
That's true. Yeah.
Okay? Really? Donald Trump. His daughter's married to a Mossad agent, and he's over there with his little yarmulke on praying at the temple wall. He's a worshiper of the Antichrist. Rick DeSantis is going to go over and bow the knee and pay homage to his earthly king. He's identifying himself as an enemy of the people. I'm talking about the real people, the people of God, the real God, the living God.
Yeah, that guy's a perfect example of what we face in this country today. If you think back to your election in Florida, you had DeSantis against that black commie. I can't recall his name.
Gillum.
So it's always a choice of the lesser of two evils, but is DeSantis really the lesser of two evils? He's a Jew lover.
Well, that's why, voting doesn't make any difference. Besides, we don't vote for anybody anyway. The people that count the votes are choosing who gets elected. And so we've lost that power. There is no power in that. And it doesn't really matter who's in there, because the people at the top of the pyramid are the same bagel boys that are always at the top. They don't change.
Yep.
It's just the servant.
Yeah.
They pick a servant because of where they want us to go. It's to lead us by fear porn and false hopes, just like Trump in this so-called draining of the swamp. That's all kabuki theater to take the sheep in a certain direction. You're still corralled, sheep. You're still corralled.
That whole Trump thing, I think, was all pre-planned. I think he was selected to be the president. I really do. And you've talked about it before, because they knew that white people were, if the other one, the Hildebeest, had gotten into power, they knew there probably would have been a revolt right away. And so they put Trump in place.
He was a safety valve.
Yeah, safety valve to pacify us for a little longer so they could get more controls in place to try to control society. But it's all going to backfire.
Yeah, amen.
Yep.
Amen. Real quick, yep. I want to read down through Micah 7. It's not very long. And then, Henry, you can comment on it if you want. But think about this in the state of what we're in. Again, this was sent in by one of our listeners in the Ozarks. Micah chapter 7. Misery is mine. Indeed, I am like one who gathers the summer fruits as gleanings of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat. My soul desires to eat the early fig. The godly man has perished out of the earth. And there is no one upright or righteous among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hurts his brother with a net called regulations, statutes, laws, etc. Their hands are that on that which is evil to do it diligently. The ruler and judge ask for a bribe, and the powerful man dictates the evil desire of his soul. Thus they conspire together. The best of them is like a briar, which is like a sticker bush, a long thorn on a bush. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman, even your visitation, has come. Now is the time of their confusion. Do not trust in a neighbor. Do not put confidence in a friend. With the woman lying in your embrace, be careful of the words of your mouth. So even if she's laying in bed with you at night, folks, be careful. She can be your enemy tomorrow. I can't tell you the number of men who have been betrayed by their, quote, lovers, like William Wallace was. Remember Braveheart? How did he get taken down? By the English because they were so brave and smart? No, by the treason of one of his lovers. For the son dishonors the father. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But as for me, I will look to Yahweh. I will wait for the Elohim God of my salvation. My Elohim God will hear me. Do not rejoice against me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, Yahweh will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of Yahweh because I have sinned against him until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light, or knowledge, or truth. I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see it, and shame will cover her who said to me, "Where is Yahweh your God?" Then my enemy will see me and will cover her shame. Now she will be trodden down like the mire or mud of the streets. A day to build your walls. In that day he will extend your boundary. In that day they will come to you from Assyria and the cities of Egypt, and from Egypt even to the river, and from the sea to sea and mountain to mountain. Yet the land will be desolate because of those who dwell within, for the fruit of their doings, meaning their actions. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, that's you and me, folks, who dwell by themselves in the forest in the middle of fertile pasture land. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. As in the days of your coming out of the land of Egypt, I shall show them marvelous things. The nations or the heathen will see and be ashamed of all of their might, They will lay their hand on their mouth. Their ears will be deaf. They will lick the dust like a serpent. Like crawling things of the earth, they shall come trembling out of their dens. They will come with fear to Yahweh our Elohim God, and will be afraid because of you. Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the disobedience of the remnant of his heritage? You and me, folks. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in loving kindness. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob Israel and mercy to Abraham, as you have shown to our fathers from the days of old. So Micah 7 is basically telling us, just as it was in ancient times, when it looks dark and bleak and the enemy seems to have risen up very high, remember, again, Psalm 91 as well. Father has not forsaken us. These are times when our disobedience, it's called sin, but it's disobedience to the law, has caused these things. It's not like they just happened. It's not like the Jew walked in one day and said, I'm proclaiming myself king of your white nations. They did it through intrigue, insurgency, bribery, blackmail, lies, and murder. And they did it with the acquiescence of people of our own race, men of our own family. So, you know, take heart. We got another caller, Henry. Did you have anything to say before I take it?
No, go right ahead. Thanks, Dan.
All right, buddy. Yahweh bless. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Is this Curtis?
Yes, this is Curtis.
Hi, Curtis.
I'm receiving the emails just fine. The information, it's just splendid. And every day I get better and my spirit grows. And I enjoy the subject. And I just want to say, make my voice counted and say I'm listening and I care.
Oh, excellent, Curtis. Thank you so much. And how's your family doing there, sir? I know you were going through some tough times.
Just fine. I've taken care of all the business, and the honor of the family's been upheld, and everything is fine.
Oh, excellent. That's good to know. So thanks for calling in and sharing with us, buddy, and Yahweh bless your heart.
Yahweh bless as well.
Take care, bud. Well, excelente. That was Curtis in Texas. he must always logged in on a computer. That's why usually he calls in. So I'm trying to see if I can set this thing up, and I can't. Anyway, very good news. We always like good news, and praise Yahweh for the blessings upon his family. I know he was going through some tough times. Most of our families are, by the way, folks. At this time, whether it's an illness or a death in the family, I've lost a lot of people to cancer. I have a sister that's going to undergo heart bypass surgery against my recommendations. But then again, who am I? So I can only do what I can do, which is to pray and to offer naturopathic advice. But you can't lead a horse to water and make him drink. Okay, Yahshua told us that. You can't take somebody by the shoulders and shake them and make them accept the truth and make them accept the scriptures and make them accept the work of the Messiah that was done to redeem his lost children. You can't make people do that. You can't make a horse drink. And I've actually done that. Yahweh has blessed me with a life that has shown me so many scriptures come to life by things that happened to me in my life. Great lesson. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Some of it hurt like hell. It's not easy sometimes when Father punishes us for things that we say and do. But I wouldn't trade it for the world, because the whole scripture comes to life when you go through these different things. And I actually took my cousin's horse and led it to a brook to feed it, to get it to drink water, and it wouldn't drink. It was a hot day. I thought, so we'd been riding, and I thought for sure the horse needed water, but the horse had other things in mind. It would not drink.
couldn't make it drink. So these old sayings, you know, like one day, you know, you're running around like a chicken with its head cut off. Did any of you ever see a chicken with its head cut off? I have. I saw my aunt take a chicken out to the chopping block, and that was going to be our Sunday dinner. And I saw that chicken get its head cut off. And let me tell you, that old saying is true. That chicken took off running all over that yard. Didn't have a head, but it was running. So the old sayings that our forefathers and ancestors used often came from some kind of life experience that it was a way to remember. All right, so we the white race are running around like chickens with their heads cut off. Okay, we're making motions, we're complaining, we're doing things, but we're not using our heads. We've detached from the pineal gland. We've detached from the lawgiver, the guy that gives us direction on what to do. Many of our people have detached that, so they have a physical body, but it's running around bouncing into walls because it can't see, it can't hear. It's not in touch with the spiritual world, just like a chicken with its head cut off. And for those folks out there who say, oh, that's mean and cruel. Well, folks, again, you can say or think whatever you want, but you didn't create this world. And who are you and I to argue with the potter? As the scripture says, what right has the pot to call out or argue with the potter? You and I are a creation like everything on this earth. Okay? Who are we to question it? You're not here because of anything you did. I'm not here for anything I did. But we're here. We have a job to do. We have things to fix. And the whole world is in travail waiting for us to get our act together. The whole world, not just the white race, the whole world is in travail, okay? These plagues put upon us by these termites called Talmud thumpers, the whole world suffers under their machinations. There's only one group of people that has the power or the right to challenge them and put them in their place, the sons of Adam. That's why every single organization under their bagel influence is against the white man, not against the white woman, because they have a purpose for you. They're going to be using you. It's the white man that they want destroyed. We are the soldiers of the Ezekiel 37 army. We are the Gideon warriors to bring down this false satanic religion and to destroy it, not to compromise with it, destroy it. So as the planet, the propertarians say, John Mark and Kurt Doolittle and the rest of them, let us fix this problem so that our children never have to deal with it. Let us fix this problem so mankind never has to go down this ugly, demented road again. Obadiah 18, big red button, let's push it. We know who the enemy is. We know how they do what they do. The whole world's waking up to the machinations of these misfits. That's how come you know we're on target, because the flak is extremely thick right now. And it hurts. It may even take a few of us down. But we are going to drive our enemy into the ground in the name of Yahweh, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our commander. That's our job. So, but anyway, I want to thank everybody for contributing today. Absolutely wonderful. When we come together as a family, we share our insights, our points of view, the things we've learned, and we're doing exactly what Scripture commanded us to do. We're not trying to tackle these heavy-duty problems as a single entity. We're trying to tackle them as a group. Remember, it says in Proverbs, there is victory in the council of many. I've lived by that proverb my whole life. Every time I come against something I have no knowledge of or I'm not sure about, I seek the counsel of many. And then you just take the best pieces from each of the many's and put it together, and usually you got a pretty damn good plan of action. And we're up against a shrewd enemy, but even more than shrewd, an evil enemy, willing to do and say anything. It reminds me of a neighbor here in the neighborhood that was arguing with a woman the other day, making false accusations, and I overheard their conversation. I couldn't believe it. This woman said to the other woman, "I'll even call the authorities and claim that you are making child pornography." What? I about fell over out of my chair. What? We've reached that point where somebody will say loud enough for other people to hear that you're going to call and make a false accusation because you're angry about something? Something as serious as that? In Yahweh's kingdom, that false accuser would be the one in front of a judge. And I'm talking about our judge, not these black-robed, pontificating assholes that we've got in our courts today. I'm talking about a righteous judge of Jacob Israel, our men. She would be in front of our tribunal giving an accounting for her blasphemy and lies, and she would be the one that would be punished. Everything's upside down. I mean, we actually have people who think it's okay to call police, some government agency, and make a false accusation because you dared to get them upset. That's where we've come. There's no law in the land. There's no moral compass. There's no righteousness in the land because we don't hold anybody accountable. Parents don't hold their children accountable. We don't hold our public servants accountable. We don't hold our police accountable. We don't hold our military accountable. We don't hold our enemies accountable. We don't hold ourselves accountable. We're going along, as the prophet said, of the people that are full of themselves and living in the life of luxury who say, "I don't need a God. I'll be a God unto myself." That's our people. Well, I got news for you. You need them more than we've ever needed them. Or else we will cease to exist much longer. That's how serious this is. We will literally cease to exist on this earth if our Father does not come to our rescue. I just got a comment here from Boone that says, "I had to leave for a bit. Did you mention why David James was dumped from Eurofolk Radio?" I did not mention that because I typically don't like to talk about Eurofolk Radio at all, simply because my mama taught me if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. And there's people over at Eurofolk Radio that I still respect, and so I generally don't try to say too much. But there are some people with them that I do not respect. And for some reason, David James has had a falling out with Rabbi Eli and Rabbi Steve, and now he is no longer there, as well as many of the other people that used to be hosts over there. The details of it, I don't know. I can only tell you what a few folks sent to me, and it had something to do with him calling Eli a liar and a Jew. Again, Other than that, that was sent to me. I have no proof. I have no testimony, personal testimony. I'm just telling you what I was told. And it has been talked about that he's no longer there, and his archives have been removed. So where there's smoke, there's fire. There's obviously some sort of large contention. A Caucasian guy says that Eli made a statement today. So apparently Caucasian guy was listening to EFR and Eli talked about it. I would suggest that people contact both David James and go listen to what Eli said, and then you make the judgment on who's telling the truth. Okay? But I think you know where I stand when I referred to Eli and Steve as rabbis. Okay? That's all I need to say. And again, judge a man by his fruits. So if it looks like a rabbi, talks like a rabbi, and behaves like a rabbi, I'm going to call it a rabbi. Case closed. Done. Okay. Wow. 3 hours. So let's close it in prayer. I don't think we have any more callers. And again, I thank everybody that participated today. Very fruitful. A lot of good things going on. Please keep my sister in your prayers. Please keep our meeting that we have scheduled for the 18th of this month. Down in Central Florida, a gathering of kith and kin to talk about solutions. Enough. We already know who the enemy is. We know what's going on that way. But we need to come together as family and to lift each other up, edify one another, and talk about solutions. I think Father's starting to open a few doors with in that area as far as solutions, and I'm praying it so. And I'm asking all the prayer warriors, the White Stallions particularly, to lift us all up in prayer that we can go forward as his emblem. You know, he said to raise an emblem in the latter days. Raise up a standard. That's what that is, a standard, a banner, a flag, an emblem, something people can see and identify with. Raise up a standard for our people in the latter days. That's what we're doing here, folks, raising up a standard, and that includes a standard of behavior. I hope you understand what I'm saying. This world is falling apart because we have no standards. Standards of language, standards of conduct, standards of behavior, standards of doing business, standards of parenting, none. Well, let's show the people standards by leading by example. Don't tell other people how to do it if you can't do it yourself. Lead by example. To Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this wonderful earth. She's been put through a lot, Father. Both our people and this poor earth has been decimated by the criminality of these corporations and governments and the bankers. They care nothing for what happens to us in this earth. All they care about is profits. That's it. They are demonic. They are sick. They are demented people. And I would pray, Father, that you would open a door for us to come out of Babylon, come together as family, and watch over us. And we will do our best, Father, to be that standard for our people, to show them what it's like when a group of people want to live as you intended us to live, not as gossipers, not as backstabbers, not as pontificating pompous asses, but as brothers and sisters who care about each other, who know how to stop wagging the tongue, to know when to just roll up your sleeves and get in there and help one another and stop demeaning and being confrontational and derogatory to each other. The world does that. We don't need to do that. So as we try to do these things, we'll stumble and fall at times, but we know that you're with us at each step of the way. Lift us up, and by thy Holy Spirit, counsel us and comfort us and guide us so that then we can in turn bring our other brothers and sisters into the fold of our family. And out of that, then we, like Noah and his family, might start over again on this poor earth and do things the right way. We ask for your blessing. We also ask for your forgiveness for our stumbles, our falls, our misgivings, and the times that we just don't seem to follow the Spirit and let the flesh have its way. look, give us a stiff backbone that we might be of courage and not of fear. And we always ask that you would protect us from our multitude of enemies. And we ask all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.